Inglewood's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 12 o'clock.
Kilgore. President Bush is making the diplomatic rounds during his European visit. At the Vatican, Pope John Paul, who opposed the Iraq War, urged the U.S. to end its occupation as soon as possible. The trip's theme is the D-Day anniversary, but NBC's David Gregory says the war is a prime topic as Mr. Bush meets with other world leaders.
All the while, there'll be a major diplomatic push to get those allies like France and Germany to sign on to a new United Nations resolution that would endorse sovereignty for the Iraqis and endorse this interim government.
Four more U.S. soldiers died in combat near Baghdad today. They were killed when insurgents launched a rocket-propelled grenade at their Humvee. Today's new employment numbers are better than expected. Nearly a 250,000 jobs created in May. It's the third month in a row that employers added significantly to the workforce, adding nearly 1 million jobs in the past 3 months. I'm Ron Kilgore, NBC News Radio.
I try to teach my children what's important in life. So instead of Cap'n Crunch Crunch Berry cereal, I buy Malt-O-Meal Berry Colossal Crunch cereal. Malt-O-Meal Berry Colossal Crunch tastes great and has all the same vitamins and minerals. And we get 50% more cereal for about the same price. Lesson?
I know, it's what's inside that counts.
Look for Malt-O-Meal Berry Colossal Crunch in over 20 other popular flavors because Malt-O-Meal means more. Part of a balanced breakfast. Claim based on net weight comparison of 22.5 ounces to 15 ounces. Cap'n Crunch with Crunch Berries is a registered trademark of the Quaker Oats Company.
Want a bonus this Saturday? Don't miss the JCPenney Saturday Bonus Sale with huge savings throughout the store. Save 20 to 60% store-wide. Plus, shop early for fantastic doorbusters 9 a.m. to 1. And the big bonus, save even more with bonus coupons. An extra $10 off your purchase of $50 or more, an extra $15 off $75 or more. Don't miss the JCPenney Saturday Bonus Sale.
It's all inside.
JCPenney.
Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale on Tuesday.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 85 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Two CDOT workers were killed overnight by a wrong-way driver. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Just getting a report that an ambulance is heading to an area around 21st and Federal Boulevard. Don't know what the problem is, but make way for the ambulance all the same. Everything on the freeway system moving along in good shape. Maybe a little slowing southbound I-225 approaching Tamarack Parkway because of an accident. 15th and Arapahoe downtown. Watch for a medical emergency. Should be out of the way there in just a few minutes. Chevron with the information. If you think all gasolines are alike, think again. Many can leave harmful deposits on vital engine parts, but Chevron with Techron helps clean up the deposits and helps your car perform like it should. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
A deadly accident on I-25 claimed the lives of two CDOT workers overnight. The State Patrol says 21-year-old April Garcia of Denver was driving southbound in the northbound lanes of I-25 near US 36 when she hit a road crew filling in potholes in the left lane. CDOT spokeswoman Stacy Stegman says a mishap such as this is extremely rare.
We haven't had something like this happen in the metro area since 1996, so it's not common for this to happen, but it shows how dangerous this job is.
State Patrol suspects alcohol may have been a factor in the crash. This report brought to you by Tyson. Wheat Ridge police are on the lookout for two young boys who allegedly assaulted a 45-year-old woman who was riding her bike in the Greenbelt near Johnson's Park last weekend. The boys were on go-peds and allegedly ran into the woman's bike, causing injury to her face and hands and damaging the bike. The woman says the boys returned to the scene, yelled obscenely at her and stated they hoped her nose was broken. The suspect is described as white, ages 12 to 13. One is tall and skinny with medium-length dark hair. The other is short and skinny. In sports, the Colorado Rockies start a four-game homestand against the San Francisco Giants tonight. Joe Kennedy will be on the mound for the Rocks. Give your family a high-quality meal with Tyson. Tyson's hickory and fully cooked bacon are slow-smoked with natural hickory wood, so they taste great. Pick up some Tyson bacon tonight. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:04.
From the caucuses to the presidential election,
every vote counts.
We've got it covered. Your number one source for election 2004 information. Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Make your weekends something to remember this summer at Hudson Gardens Gigs in the Gardens Concert Series. Join AM 1150 KNRC for a summer-long musical series featuring great artists from around town and around the world. See regional favorites like Chris Daniels, Firefall, and Wendy Wu, plus international legends like Pine Top Perkins and Big Bill Morganfield in the beautiful surroundings of Hudson Gardens and Event Center. One of the most beautiful places to see and hear music in all of Colorado. Hudson Gardens is located at 6115 South Santa Fe Drive in Littleton, 3 miles north of C-470. Tickets are available online at hudsongardens.org or by calling 303-797-8565, extension 321. This summer, treat your whole family to a musical picnic in the garden. Hudson Gardens Gigs in the Gardens Concert Series is presented by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Thunderstorms developing in the mountains and foothills will move across the plains as we head through late afternoon and evening, bringing the threat for severe weather. And we have a slight chance of more thunderstorms on Saturday late afternoon and evening, and again on Sunday afternoon. It'll be a warm one today with a high of 89. Tomorrow, a high of 79. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 85 now. KNRC news time is 12:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:06, 6 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock and coming to you live from McCormick Place in Chicago. We're here covering Book Expo 2004. These are the books. These are the authors. Everything to do with books is going on here. It is amazing. It is enormous. It's huge. The square footage here, I mean, you need to have roller skates to get anywhere. And we have a terrific lineup of guests. We're going to have Ambassador Joseph Wilson joining us. We have all kinds of stellar people joining us. I went to the Clinton speech last night, and I want to share some of the information. Also, of course, there's big news breaking, and we know about the resignation of George Tenet. We'll be talking about that. Joining us right now is Stedman Graham. I think a lot of you know who Stedman is, not only because of his own reputation, his business as a consultant, the books that he's written, and he has a brand new one out called Move Without the Ball, best-selling author of Teams Can Make It Happen, Put Your Skills and Your Magic to Work for You. But, of course, you know Stedman Graham because of his association with someone who is much beloved to all of us, and that would be Oprah Winfrey.
That's right.
Stedman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, glad to be here. I am always happy to be around the Book Expo, because there's so much information and knowledge.
Have you been to other ones?
Well, I've been to the other ones, but this is one of the best. And it's also convenient because I live in Chicago. And it's just, people are excited, and they're smart, and they are moving, and they're moving forward, and they are just creating. It's a great place.
Tell me about your book, Move Without the Ball. What is it about?
Well, Move Without the Ball... it took me 5 years to get this project off the ground, because I was so distraught for so many years because of the mindset that so many young people have around this country, who believe that they're going to be a professional athlete, or they're going to be an entertainer, or they're going to be a star, or they're going to be, in Hollywood, and they don't understand the process of how to get there. And they don't understand that that you can't just go from A to Z without filling in the in-between.
You mean you can't snap your fingers and say, I'm going to be a star, be a star tomorrow?
It doesn't happen just because you see it on TV.
Whoa, what a surprise.
It doesn't happen just because you see the athletes with making, $30 million or $5 million or $100 million contracts. It happens because you go through the process every single day, and you become the best because you are a development project.
All right. Many of us are development projects, both in waiting and in actuality.
That's right.
And this is a book that is positioned and aimed at teenagers, Move Without the Ball. But if you're not a teenager, it should still apply to you, because you're talking about process.
Absolutely. So it is a process that anybody can follow, even as an adult.
All right, what's the process? Say that we all want to be, I don't know, fill in the blank. A lot of people, you know, they did a study a few years ago asking kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they expected answers like fireman and nurse. And what kids said was famous, which is a little bit sad to me, actually. I think it's really, really depressing to hear that.
Well, what's famous mean? I mean, that's the
but
question.
But in this culture, that, well, all right.
Yeah, what's famous mean? So how do you describe famous? So you got to take that down about 20 notches. And what famous means that you find out what you're willing to die for. Famous means that you find out what you're willing to put 14, 15 hours, sometimes a day into. What famous means that you're willing to overcome the obstacles that hit you in the face and people say you can't do this and can't do that. Famous means that you will do it regardless of whether or not you have money. Famous means that you are aligned with the resources of the world, so the resources help you build your life every single day, irregardless of a degree or a title or a job. That's what famous means.
Okay.
And so there's a process for famous.
What's the process for famous?
Process for famous is first step, you have to understand who you are. And once you understand who you are, it's based on what can you do. That you become passionate about. It's based on what do you love to do. It's based on how do you tie your skills and how do you develop into that person by establishing a strong foundation based on what you're excited about. What gets you energized.
A lot of people have that option. In other words, let's say you're excited about
that's a great question. Hold
being
a
an actor a or being a chef or doing something and you really want to do it, but maybe you have to earn a living. So the question is, how can you earn a living that maybe isn't supported by the thing that you're so passionate about, but also keep the passion alive? Isn't that a hard...
That's a great question. That's a great question. And so we live in a society where most of the world doesn't really want you to do what you want to do. They don't want you to be passionate about the world that you live in every single day. They don't want you to be passionate about what you can do or what they don't want you to find joy because you can't be controlled that way. So the idea of living in the world where you do the same thing you did yesterday as you did today as you would do tomorrow, you ask yourself, what have I done? I've been on this job for 30 years. I look back and I ask myself, I have no more in the end than I had in the beginning. And so you never self-actualize your potential because you don't have a sense of self. You don't have a place to start, and you go through the educational process that teaches you how to memorize, take tests, repeat the information back, you label by grade, and you turn around and say, you know what, I have a degree, a piece of paper, what do I do with this now? And you realize that you have to turn your life over to the world who says, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be a slave to me. So I don't want you to learn how to move without the ball. I want to control you and teach you exactly what I want to teach you so that I can make a lot of money, so that you have 1% of the world running this country, everybody else is working. So nobody wants you to be independent. Nobody wants you to think about your potential. Nobody wants
you to. So if the world doesn't want you to be independent, how are you going to, all right, how do we overcome it? My guess, if you're just tuning in, is Stedman Graham. His new book is called Move Out Without the Ball. It's aimed at teenagers, but it's really for anybody. And Stedman has a doctorate and also teaches at a number of universities. And I remember that you and Oprah were teaching together a graduate class in business at Northwestern,
right.
Kellogg
right.
School of Business.
Leadership course, yeah.
Yeah. So this is something that you do as a consultant, and these are techniques that I assume you have found really useful.
I speak around the country about 70 times a year. I train executives. I work with organizations and help train them, because unless you are aligned, whether you are an individual or an organization or company or a big CEO, if you're not aligned, you can't make those resources relevant. You can't make that information relevant.
So you have to get aligned with... All right, tell us, give us the basics. We're in kindergarten, and by the way, you're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, and we're doing something different today. It's a special edition, and I will be with you again tomorrow, which I am usually not. Same time, noon to 3, we are broadcasting live from the Book Expo 2004 McCormick Place. So we have tons of authors on. We'll be talking a lot about books. We'll be talking a lot about ideas. We'll be talking a lot about the business. business of publishing lots and lots of stuff, and it's really rich. And I want to share with you President Clinton's observations of yesterday, which were all over the newspapers today. So, Stedman, let's say we're all in kindergarten, we're in square one, we're tired of being wage slaves, we're not quite sure what our gifts are, but we know that they're not being satisfied at work. How do we begin?
Okay, you begin with the word, the most powerful word in the world, which is L-O-V-E, love.
As in love.
Love. The love thing.
Yeah.
What do you love to do? It's that simple. Write down, when I teach teens, I ask them, I said, write down everything that you love. You know what? They write 100 things down. Now what I want you to do is apply those things to your life every single day. How do you self-actualize those things based on the time you have left on earth? So I say, well, how old are you? 16. Well, you have 16. You have 26, 36, 46, 56, 66, 76, 86, 96. 96. You're going to live to be 96. You got all those years to what? Take what you love and figure out how the world's going to help you build your foundation based on what you want to do so you can keep your energy and not be depressed about walking into work to a job that you hate every day or doing something that you don't love. So the first step, you are what you love. So find out what you love, number one. Two, create a vision for yourself. Step two. So in order to be able to create a vision, you got to have something to create a vision on. You create a vision on everything that you love. How do you visualize it? How do you see it? What do you believe in? What's your imagination like? Innovation, creativity. That's what Disney was built on. Third step is develop your travel plan. It's to be able to plan it out. Every single day, you got 24 hours. The only thing that makes you equal is you got the same 24 hours everybody else does. So how do you take those 24 hours and make those 24 hours work for you? Third step, master the rules of the road, which is your value system. Integrity, trust, work hard, all those things. Hard to work hard if you don't love what you do. Fifth step, step into the outer limits. You know, you either go by two emotions, you live two ways, either by fear or love. So if you're focusing on love, everything's a joy. If you're living by fear, then everything is a dread. Step six, power of seasons of change, not so much what happens to you, but how you respond to it. So how deep is your internal capacity to deal with the changes that you go through every single day? We're going through a lot of changes in the world now. Step seven, build a dream team.
Go back to step six, the changes. In other words, how are you dealing with changes?
How can you deal with the changes that happen to you every single day based on the right choices that you make about...
Give me a little bit,
right
amplify
decision.
That a little bit. Let's okay. say you get fired. Let's say you get reassigned to something you hate doing when you had something that you love doing. Well, how do you handle that?
Well, the difference is if you have a vision of who you want to become, sometimes you're going to have to do things that require you to go through tough changes
in order to
be able to achieve your vision.
Gotcha.
If you don't have a vision, then you just go through the changes and you're controlled by somebody else, and so it's very difficult for you to overcome those changes.
Okay.
Because you don't see your way out. Step seven, build a dream team. What's your communications like to people that you talk to every single day? If you have no conversation, most people talk about the weather, they talk about their clothes, they talk about, just really surface stuff. So how do you have a real conversation? You have a real conversation based on where you want to go, who you want to become, and how you're going to be there.
Give us a real conversation.
The real conversation is, Ms. Goldstein, who are you? Tell me who you are. And you tell me, you know what, I love radio. I love talking to people all over the country. Well, are you just going to do that every single day, over and over and over? And in 30 years, look back and say, what have you really done? And they say, well, I just talk to people every day. That's all I do. I say, well, let's put a vision with that.
Uh-huh.
How do we create, what would you like to do? Well, maybe I like to own, five radio stations. Or maybe I like to get involved in television. And on some TV. So I have a vision of what I can become. Well, you're in the door. You're in the industry. Let's organize the industry. The third step is how do you make that happen? Well, I need a business plan. I need to talk to some people who actually own stations. I want to be able to, impact the world based on my philosophy. So how do I make that even more effective? How do I get on the ground? I'm on the air. Now, how do I get on the ground? How do I now permeate that message through every community in America? How do I do it in South Africa? How do I share my philosophy? How do I share the talent that I have on radio to be able to have them be a part of that process? And what kind of team do I need? Step seven. We'll skip the steps. What kind of team do I need? Well, the conversation is you need a team that understands how to do that. Has it been done before? Yes, Ms. Goldstein, it's been done before. We'll show you how to do that. Okay, what's the process for that? Well, let's put the process together. Here's the process. Well, you know what? We're gonna. I'm not on radio every day. People don't know me, but they know you. So we're gonna have you be what? Be a part of our team, and you're gonna do this, this, and this, and we're together going to create a what? A process for development based on a dream and based on your innovation and creativity. Guess what? Welcome to the Good Old Boys Club and welcome to the Good Old Girls Club.
You make it sound so easy. Where do I sign up?
Once you understand the process. Because the rest is whether you believe it or not, whether or not you can do it. Actually, do you believe enough in yourself that you can be that kind of person who owns those stations, who becomes the creator and the visionary?
Yeah, but you're making the assumption I want to own these stations. I don't think I want to own these
stations. No, you don't have to own the station, but the metaphor is the fact that we want you to follow the process of who you want to become. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about reprogramming yourself based on your history, because your history tells you, you know what, I can't make it because of the color of my skin. I can't make it because I'm a woman.
All right, we'll talk about that, because we were talking earlier, and you said there are ways to get rid of gender bias, racial bias, class bias. How
is you have to define yourself. You can't, you know, a lot of people try to define me, you know, because of my relationship. You can't let somebody define you. You don't define me. I define myself. Because that's the only definition that I have to work with. If I'm working with your definition.
Well, and you're the only territory that you can control.
That's the only territory you can control. So
you can define yourself any way you want, but the world can define you in a different way.
Every day, they're going to try to take you out. Every day. Because they don't want you to define yourself, because they want to control you. They want you to be a worker. And as long as you're a worker, you make my dreams come true.
So let me play devil's advocate.
Right.
Let's say you define yourself one way.
Okay.
And the world wants to define you a different way. And you are successful in defining yourself for yourself on your own terms, but you're still going to come up against the world, which may or may not allow you to, it may or may not open the gate for you. It may decide that it doesn't like your chemistry. It may decide that it doesn't like your sex, your gender, or the color of your skin, or your ideas. You know, there are a million ways that it defines you that may or may not be the way that you define yourself. And so, when you come up against that kind of dissonance, what's your advice?
Every day that happens, every time a black person walks into a place that maybe he's the only person or she's the only person, they try to define you. Every time a woman goes into corporate America and she tries to, you know, she's the only woman in the boardroom, she's defined. And so every single day you're defined by the way that you look. You're defined on the 10 o'clock news. You're defined by people.
By gossip, gossip columnists or people
right.
who do stories
and
about
so,
you.
Right. And so if you don't take control of your own life and reprogram you and take your power back, which is what you have to do every single day, because the world is saying to you, I really don't want you to be who you need to be. I don't want you to be independent. And so I want you to remain on the plantation, because we need you as a worker. We need you to be enslaved to our thinking. We run the country. We run the town.
And we know what's best.
Right. We know what's best for you. You don't know what's best for you. And so the ability to be able to break through that programming, and that program has been passed on
but you have been
by
in
your
a,
history.
You have been.
Parents who pass the same message to their children, and the children pass the same message to their children. I can't make it because of the color of my skin. African Americans, Hispanic Americans,
what do you think
women,
about what do you think about what Bill
Let's just free
Clyde?
You right now. Let's just free you right now. Stop, break the program that you got from your parents that said, you know what, you're not good enough, or you're a second-class citizen. And when you believe that, guess how you act? You act second class.
What do you think about what Bill Cosby said? My guest, Edmund Graham. You're listening to Enid Live, Fabulous Friday Edition from McCormick Place. What do you think about Bill Cosby's comments? He really got into a lot of soup with a lot of people, but a lot of people loved his candor.
I think what he was saying is that he's tired of seeing young people throw away their lives because of the leadership, because of people who are supposed to be in position to know how it works, have let the young people down. And the school systems don't work. You know, Chicago, we have 57% dropout rate, 60% in Dallas, you know, among Hispanics. So it doesn't work. And so he's saying it doesn't work. He's saying that...
Well, he's saying to parents, and he's saying to a certain class of parents who are not parenting very well. They'll buy their kids $500 sneakers, but they won't buy them $200 worth of Hooked on Phonics.
Well, where do they get that message from? They get it from watching television. They get it from not being able to move without the ball. They get it from buying into what corporate America's ability to be able to say, you know what, I want to sell my goods.
Yeah, but you know, it isn't about watching. It is about watching television, but it's also about not being a proper parent. Because television, the culture is pervasive, and I think what parents have to do is teach their kids how to handle all the messages that are coming at them.
You know, I agree with that, but there's no process for that. That's like saying to somebody, you know what, you can be a better person than you are today. And the question they ask you is, tell me how to do that. Tell me how. How do you do that? When I discovered there's a process for that, I said, you know what? Oh, I can think now. Most people can't think. If you're doing the same thing over and over every single day, the same thing you did yesterday as you did today as you do tomorrow, then you're programmed to do what? Do the same thing. You can't think. So when you can't think, how in the world can you grow if you're in a routine?
Let me ask you a question. A good friend of mine was married to Sharon Stone, which put him in a very interesting position. He's a newspaper editor in San Francisco.
Okay.
You have had a successful career, and you are involved with somebody who is in a stellar realm in this country. How does that work for you? I mean, I can see a real big upside, and I can also see a real big downside to it.
What's that got to do with me?
You tell me.
That's what I'm just saying, what's it got to do with me?
It's part of what will follow you in your career as an author, or the media,
It's part
consulting.
Of what everybody else buys into. It's part of what everybody wants to buy into, and they keep pulling me back into that space because they're comfortable with that space. That's not how I define well. And so it's got nothing to do with me. I am glad that she does what she does because of who she is. Congratulations. You want to be president? Fine, do it. If that's what you want to do, but when you love what you do and you're passionate about your own experiences and the world that you live in, you're happy and you understand how it works, good for you. It has nothing to do with me.
Well, I would think that being involved with Oprah would force you to really, in case you had any issues of defining yourself, it would really move you very much more strongly in the direction of defining yourself. Otherwise, it would be very easy to sink under the weight of somebody else's reputation.
And it's a beautiful thing because I got pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I got pressure.
Yeah, the
and most people
stuck,
don't have pressure.
Stuck
because
a lot of impetus.
That's right.
You.
Most people don't have the pressure. So you know what? They get very comfortable relaxing. And when you get comfortable with relaxing, you don't do anything. See, we think we're doing something just because we show up. You're not doing anything because you're not growing. You're not making information relevant to the world you live in every single day because you forget the information. You read all these books. We got all this material here at the book show, at Book Expo. People read it, and then 2 weeks later we ask them, what did you read? I don't know. So it's not relevant to your growth.
Stedman Graham, thank you so much for joining us today. You spent some time in Denver. You lived in Cherry Hill.
I lived there for 3 years. I had a great time. Denver is a wonderful, wonderful place. I miss it.
We miss you there. We
wish
you were
there. I'll be coming back, I'm sure. But that's a wonderful place. The people there are
just fabulous. If you come back on tour with the book, let us know, will you?
Yeah.
We would love to get you into the studio. My guest, Stedman Graham, his new book, Move Without the Ball, Put the Skills and Your Magic to Work for You. Thank you so much for joining us
today.
Thank
you for having me.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Flush Rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Windows. Doesn't it seem like everybody's in the window business these days? At Alpine Window and Door, they believe you deserve quality, value, and experience in your remodeling project. Alpine Window and Door has been serving the Denver area for nearly a quarter century, offering a large selection of fine vinyl and wood products by Weathershield, Anderson, Pella, Traco, and Therma-True. With so many choices, rely on Alpine's experienced staff to help you make the correct one. The Alpine Window and Door staff takes a sincere interest in your project, whether it's a standard window replacement or a complete redesign to create a whole new look. At Alpine Window and Door, their remodeling specialists are with you from the beginning to the end of your project. If you want for true value, quality, and experience from an established, proven company, call Alpine Window & Door at 303-431-1000. That's 431-1000. Or visit their convenient showrooms in Wheat Ridge or Highlands Ranch and speak with one of their experts. You'll be looking through windows a whole new way after you visit Alpine Window & Door.
Ma'am, are you the owner of this 2001 SUV?
With a Carfax vehicle history report that says if we miss a major problem reported by the state,
we buy back the car?
Yes.
Ma'am, it's rare, but we missed one. Here's the check for the SUV.
Great. So, what are you going to do with the car?
It won't trouble you again, ma'am.
Don't buy a used car without a Carfax history report. Now with the buyback guarantee. For details, ask your dealer or go to CARFAX.com.
You know, I have this boss.
We try to stick to cars, man.
Imagine that this music was a picture created by an ordinary printer. Now, imagine it was created by an Epson printer. Well, over time, you'd see even more differences. Because only Epson's DuraBright inks resist damage from water, smudging, and sunlight. So long after others fade, ours would still rock on.
KNRC presents Bill Maher at the Paramount Theater Saturday, June 12th.
I will give George Bush credit for this. He is working a lot harder than he thought he'd have to.
For tickets, visit HOB.com.
You know what? You got to get over that. Al Gore lost that election all by himself by maintaining his pledge to end charisma as we know it.
Or call 303-830-8497.
Seriously, the Republicans did not steal that election. It did fall off a truck.
Bill Maher at the Paramount, June 12th. Brought to you by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are higher at this hour. The Dow is up 68 points. The NASDAQ is up 27. Analysts say it's a clear sign the job market has turned the corner. The economy added nearly a quarter of a million jobs last month, and the numbers for March and April were revised upwards as well. The good news for job seekers also increased expectations of a hike in interest rates when the Federal Reserve meets at the end of the month. But the positive Labor Department report is probably cold comfort for thousands of Maytag and MCI employees. Both of those companies announced plans today to downsize their workforces, Maytag by 20%, MCI by 15%. House Republicans have agreed on a bill that would provide tobacco growers with a buyout of nearly $10 billion. That in exchange for farmers giving up a long-standing federal program that props up prices through quotas. And OPEC producers said today they were pleased to see oil drop below $40 a barrel. Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio.
How do you help keep healthcare affordable? By teaming up with physicians and their patients to find new ways to care for chronic conditions like diabetes and asthma. That's what many local Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies are doing to reduce medical complications and unnecessary costs. Harvard Medical School has recognized this as a promising way to improve quality and control the rising cost of healthcare. Learn more at bcbs.com. The Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association is an association of independent Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies.
This cow is trying to say new Coffee Mate half and half. Sadly, cows can't make the n sound. Only the m sound, as in moo Coffee Mate half and half. That's right. And since cows can't say in creamy delicious flavors like hazelnut and vanilla, I'll be enhancing this cow's dialogue. You tell them. Just like Moo Nestle Coffee Mate half and half enhances your coffee, as only coffee's perfect mate can. Look for the easy pour package in the refrigerator section. Now you're just being a hog.
Last year, Bill O'Reilly and Al Franken got into it. This year, Bill Clinton will be there. Hear exclusive coverage from the National Book Expo in Chicago as Enid Goldstein broadcasts live June 4th and 5th. Our hosts go to where the news is. AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:33 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And we are broadcasting live from McCormick Place. This is Book Expo 2004. All kinds of authors here, publicists, business people. It is all about the business of books. And joining us now is Bill Curtis. And I've been a big Bill Curtis fan from my years of living in Chicago and watching him cover the news. And now we see Bill Curtis all over cable television hosting, what is the name of that show? Because I always catch it in the middle.
Cold Case Files on A&E.
Okay.
And Investigating History.
Okay.
And American Justice.
American Justice.
So,
all
we, try to cover the waterfront.
And you are here at Book Expo, not your usual medium. Television is your usual medium. And you are here because...
I wrote a book on the death penalty. You know, we have had this shocking event in Illinois where 13 men were exonerated from death row, more than we executed in the last 20 years. And as a
that's
lawyer,
only because Illinois is not Texas.
Yes, that's right.
You know, my line about Texas is you steal a frozen chicken and before it's thawed you have a lethal injection, which they always alcohol in advance.
Oh,
I don't know why.
I went through sort of a personal epiphany on this. And I said, why isn't anybody shouting out about this? Why is the legal profession so quiet? George Ryan, of course, when he was governor, stopped the presses and the machinery with a moratorium and then appointed a blue ribbon commission. It recommended 85 changes if we are to continue the death penalty at all. And those were passed by the legislature last November.
What kinds of changes? 85 changes.
One, they want videotape confessions, everything videotaped, new discovery rules, better qualifications for trial lawyers, for prosecutors. Try and get at these eight problem areas for prosecuting capital cases, and that is the use of eyewitnesses who are traditionally incredible,
really?
Bad defense lawyers, overzealous prosecutors, biased judges, a variety of things. Coerced confessions, that's the problem we have been having.
Well, one of the problems, and we have a certain amount of ambient sound here, by the way.
Well, I think it's the division out of Fort Carson.
Must be the CIA.
And I have my earphones on, and I can't hear. What in the world is that?
Give me the name of your new book again.
Death Penalty on Trial.
Death Penalty on Trial.
On Trial.
Okay. I think... Robert Morgenthau, who has a long-time career as a prosecutor in New York, wrote a piece a while back about what everybody in the criminal justice system knows. And what everybody in the criminal justice system knows about the death penalty is that it's no deterrent. It doesn't work. It's something that is politically popular. But it is not, it is very unpopular for any politician to talk about going after it or cleaning it up. And Ryan did it, even though the case of Ryan is particularly interesting because he's got his own problems with the feds right now. What's the story with Governor Ryan?
He's under federal indictment for political bribery in some cases, corruption during his term as Secretary of State, which just goes back 20 years.
But isn't this interesting? Here he is under indictment for corruption. And the one fine thing he did, so the universe may even intervene on his behalf. Who knows?
Who
the prosecutor
knows?
Could drop dead.
Well,
we don't know.
He's nominated for the Nobel Prize.
He is?
He has been going around Europe. They turned the lights on in the Colosseum, the only third time since Julius Caesar, I think, and fating him as the darling of death penalty abolitionists. So he has been living a marvelous life.
Even as he's under indictment. Oh, yeah. So what is his outcome going to be? What do we think is going to happen to him?
Well, Dan Webb is his defense attorney, and he claims that he is innocent, and he may walk away. 66 people, incidentally, have been convicted in this sweep by the federal attorney. So, but who knows?
But the one fine thing he did, regardless of the other elements in his life, and here's a man clearly a picture, or if not a caricature, of complexity.
Oh, yeah.
And so you have all this going on, but he freed all these people from death row.
164. Now, he didn't free them. He just reduced their sentence to life. He freed 17. And they walked because they were innocent. He exonerated them.
How did you come to being anti-death penalty? And the name of the book again?
Death Penalty on Trial, and it comes out November 9th. Well, I'm a lawyer, and I have been for the death penalty. I covered the Charles Manson case, and I wanted to see him walk the plank. Angela Davis and Daniel Ellsberg and Richard Speck. So I have some background.
Well, you didn't want the death penalty
for
Daniel Ellsberg.
Nor Angela. She was found innocent and truly was. But there is evil in the world. These are bad people. And I went along with everybody else, but I assumed something that I shouldn't have. I assumed that the guilty are punished and the innocent go free under our system of justice. This faith that somehow justice will out and the right will be done. And then I found out the criminal justice system, especially when it comes to the death penalty, is a sieve. It's a myth. The chances that you will be sent to jail are 50-50. And once the machinery starts in grinding against an accused, chances are that he will get life or death.
But wait a minute. The chances are 50-50. They're not 50-50 if you have a lot of money and you have a really good defense attorney.
It's
right?
True. As a matter of fact, they're worse than 50-50. Professor Liebman at Columbia University Law School has found error up to 68% of the cases, of the death penalty cases, over the last, let's say, 30 years. 68% is not something that you would accept if you wanted a cancer diagnosis, for
no.
instance.
No, and also, here's what else is troubling. We find out that there are people who have been trafficking in bogus forensic evidence who work for the prosecution. You have found prosecutors who have been incredible, who have lied in order simply to make the case, maybe to bolster their own political future. I mean, this is just incredible.
It is now rather clear in the terms of the statistics that we have accumulated, that have erupted, if you will, in Illinois, that it is not a fair and equitable application of the death penalty around the United States.
As we continue, I want to talk about the deterrent effect of the death penalty, which deters the person from ever living again who may have received
it. 3 seconds. There is none.
There is none. My guest is Bill Curtis. His new book is Death Penalty on Trial. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. It's a special edition tomorrow as well, noon to 3, broadcast live from Chicago's McCormick Place Book Expo 2004 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
12:41, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Partly cloudy and 85 now. A woman driving the wrong way on I-25 struck and killed two CDOT workers early this morning. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Pretty decent driver on the freeway system at the middle of the lunch hour right now. No accidents or stalls on the highways. A couple of problems off the freeweys, though. One at, Ute Highway and North 115th Street. That's in Longmont. Accident with very minor injuries there. Parker Road and E470, a report of an accident as well. Supposed to involve a semi and a small car, but the State Patrol tells us no one was injured in that situation there. The 19th and Arapahoe downtown to medical first aid. Southbound Sheridan, south of 10th Avenue, West Metro fire equipment on the scene there, taking care of the remnants of a fire alarm. HBO pay-per-view with the information. De La Hoya versus Sturm, Hopkins versus Allen, World Middleweight Championship Boxing event tomorrow live on pay-per-view. To order, call Comcast Cable at 303-930-2000. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Two CDOT workers were killed last night by a 21-year-old woman who was driving the wrong way on I-25 near US 36. The CDOT crew was filling potholes in the left lane of northbound I-25. 50-year-old Eladio Lopez of Denver and 43-year-old Paul Forster were killed. State Patrol thinks alcohol may have played a factor in the crash. This report brought to you by Vista Ridge. CU Athletic Director Dick Tharp said he's resigning from the board of directors of Liquor Mart. During the investigation into the recruiting scandal at the school, Tharp came under fire for allegedly paying more attention to his responsibilities with the liquor store than to his responsibilities with the university. Tharp says he'll still retain his minority ownership in Liquor Mart. Following incidents in April when two light poles along Pena Boulevard crashed down on the road, crews will be taking down the poles for inspections. Both of the poles that crashed had cracks along their bases. All the poles will be checked for structural integrity. Vista Ridge, a new community with championship golf, tennis, swimming, everything for you and your family, just 20 minutes north of downtown Denver, on the web at vistaridge.net. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 12:43.
as important to Denver as the Rocky Mountains, if we do say so ourselves. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live. Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it, just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast, partly cloudy skies through the afternoon, maybe some thunderstorms. Partly cloudy tonight, chance of some thunderstorms still through the evening, mid-50s for the overnight temperature. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, maybe some afternoon thunderstorms as well. We'll top out in the low 80s. Partly cloudy and 85 now. KNRC news time is 1245. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Take advantage of great low mortgage rates today. Call Western State Mortgage at 888-617-5255 and get a loan package that is custom tailored for your individual needs. A recent customer had this to say.
I got burned by another mortgage company. They made promises that simply didn't follow through. Then I called Western State Mortgage and they consolidated my debt at a much lower rate. And now I'm saving over $800 per month. I should have called Western State Mortgage first.
You too can lower your mortgage payment by literally hundreds of dollars per month. Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad, and if they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Start your 2004 off right and call them now at 888-617-5255 or visit them online at westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. Call them at 888-617-5255. That's 888-617-5255. Equal housing lender.
At this time, while our fighting men and women are overseas fighting for our freedoms, let's enjoy this summer. But AM 1150 KNRC wants to salute those who are fighting the terrorists.
Our enemy is a radical network of terrorists and every government that supports them.
KNRC wants to salute those who are fighting terrorism. Thanks for all you're doing. AM 1150 KNRC. Jimmy, Enid, and Doug make sense out of the issues affecting Colorado and the world.
Tell this to everybody wherever they are.
Weekdays, hear Colorado Talk on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:47 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, coming to you live from Chicago, McCormick Place, Book Expo 2004. And with me, Bill Curtis. You see him on A&E all the time. The award-winning investigative reports, Cold Case Files, American Justice. He has a new book out called The Death Penalty on Trial. And since I am anti-death penalty, I'm just thrilled that you feel the same way. We were talking earlier about the deterrent value of the death penalty, which I agree with you. You said you could answer that question in 3 seconds and that it's nil.
Yeah. I think that just arguing that issue keeps us thinking that maybe it could be a deterrent. In fact, you know, there are too many variables to measure whether it is or not. You know, what about drug killings? They weren't around, you know, 50 years ago. What about domestic violence and gang killings? The fact is, you know, when I came to this decision, when I started reading Furman versus Georgia, the classic 1972 case where the Supreme Court declared the death penalty unconstitutional, every single judge dealt with a deterrent argument and said, well, it's just not real. It's not true.
Why do Americans don't, why do we not want to believe that?
Is there something vestigial and really visceral in the process? You did. It's an eye for an eye, that kind of punishment. Somebody did something hideous and heinous, and
yes,
we just want to murder him in response.
When we hear of an adult or anyone killing a child, we want to kill them. I do. I certainly do. You know, they should be dismembered and quartered.
Right.
But in fact, that is the last reason that we hold on to for the death penalty. All the others have gone. The system doesn't work. We can't equally apply it around the country. It is not a deterrent. It is too expensive.
Yes,
it's running courts out of business.
That's right. It's so counterintuitive to most people. It's much more expensive to do the death penalty than it is to put you in prison for the rest of your life without possibility of parole.
But that victim and looking and...
And they all say closure. If I hear that word closure one more time, I'm going to throw
close.
Up.
It doesn't close. My heart goes out to them, and none of us can put ourselves in their shoes, I know. But they must come to another answer to close this thing.
It doesn't, and in a way it hurts, because you feel like once they get the death penalty, that heaviness from your heart will evaporate. And
that's
not true, so you're good. This is the second book, and your first book came out in the early 80s. The writing of this book, were there surprises for you in the writing, Bill Curtis?
You know, it is therapeutic, and it grabs a piece of you inside, and you deliver it on paper. The surprise was that I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much.
Well, we enjoyed having you today. Thank you so much
you
for joining us, Bill Curtis. The new book is called Death Penalty on Trial.
On Trial. November, we'll see you out
in Denver, I hope.
I hope so.
Thank you. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Is your car's check engine light on? Then get to AutoZone. They'll help you figure out the problem for free and tell you what you can do about it. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Sunday night at 10. For many years, Edie has had the inside scoop on Hollywood's best-kept secrets. We hate keeping secrets.
That's a very personal thing to be revealed to the entire world.
Get ready for the countdown only E can deliver.
The biggest secret in Hollywood is...
If you want in, you gotta watch. Trust us, it's worth it. The 101 Best Kept Hollywood Secrets, premiering Sunday night at 10 and continuing all week long, only on E.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Are you an advocate for social justice? Boulder County Safe House offers its tri-annual volunteer training, providing a comprehensive overview of violence against women, crisis intervention skills, anti-racism and anti-oppression training, and information on how to use positive personal action to end the social problem of violence against women. Spring training begins Saturday, June 5th. For more information, call 303-415-3749 or visit www.bouldercountysafehouse.org.
Welcome, listeners of KOA, KHOW, and KNUS. We're glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
You said you wanted a fun, entertaining talk station. Here it is.
Here it is.
Our talk hosts welcome opposing views. They aren't old and angry, and they love Denver just like you. A positive talk radio station. Jimmy Lakey, Enid Goldstein, and Doug Kellett, along with famous national hosts like Bill O'Reilly, Michael Reagan, Lionel, and Alan Colmes. A great weekday talk lineup, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. The KNRC talk version of American Idol is Saturday and Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m.
Silent night. I said a silent night.
Ooh, that was just wrong. No, there is no singing involved, but we will be offering new talk show hosts for your review. Listen in and let us know what you think. More live and local talk than any other Denver talk radio station. AM 1150 KNRC.
I really don't want to give my name. I'm a regional manager. I do love that Enid Goldstein. A mission to Mars, Mr. Bush? If there's any extra money in the budget, I think we should create a U.S. grant for hotness myself.
Enid Goldstein, weekday afternoons from noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:53 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, coming to you live from Chicago, McCormick Place Book Expo 2004. We'll be doing a special edition of the show tomorrow as well. Noon to 3, more authors will be joined by Ambassador Joseph Wilson and so on. We have tons of people to talk to. Later on, Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson. And right now, joining me, R.L. Stein. R.L., or Bob, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, it's nice to be here, Enid.
I have bought so many of your books for my nieces. For those of you, I can't imagine anybody who doesn't know who R.L. Stein is, but...
Supplies see store for details. Sale ends June 5th.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 85 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Two CDOT workers lost their lives early this morning. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
We are getting a report of a lightning-caused brush fire on Blue Mountain in Estes Park. A lot of fire equipment heading up there, as you might expect. Details are still pretty sketchy. We'll bring them to you just as soon as we get them. Here in town, everything on the freeway is moving along in good shape. Really kind of a quiet lunch hour on the interstates. A couple of injury accidents off the freeways, though. One at Colorado and Dakota. One southbound Spear at Colfax. HBO pay-per-view with the information. De La Hoya versus Sturm. Hopkins versus Allen. It's World Middleweight Championship Boxing. Tomorrow live on pay-per-view. To order, call Comcast Cable at 303-930-2000. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Two CDOT workers were killed on I-25 early this morning. Colorado State Patrol spokesman Eric Wynn explains what happened.
A vehicle southbound on Interstate 25 in the northbound lane struck two of the CDOT workers, killing them instantly, and then collided head-on with the CDOT truck.
21-year-old April Garcia of Denver could face charges of vehicular homicide. State Patrol says alcohol could have been a factor in the crash. This report brought to you by AutoZone. Wheat Ridge police are on the lookout for two boys who allegedly assaulted a woman riding her bike near Johnson's Park last Saturday. The woman's face and hands were injured, and her bike was damaged when the boys allegedly crashed into her on their go-peds. The woman says the boys yelled obscenities at her and said they hoped her nose was broken. The suspects are described as white, ages 12 to 13. One is short and skinny, the other tall and skinny, with medium-length dark hair. The likely Democratic nominee for president is coming to town. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry expected to be in Colorado on Sunday and Monday. Kerry's expected to make a speech at the Donald R. Sewell Grand Ballroom in Denver's downtown. Kerry staffers say that Colorado's a battleground state for the Massachusetts senator. In sports, a wraparound home series for the Colorado Rockies starting tonight against the San Francisco Giants. Rocks send out Joe Kennedy tonight. Is your car's check engine light on? Then get to AutoZone. They'll help you figure out the problem for free and tell you what you can do about it. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 104.
Info.
What's up?
The scoop.
The latest.
What do you know?
What's new?
Listen and we'll tell you. Hear Colorado Talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
Velcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at Velcaro.com.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy and hot today with a high of 89. Isolated thunderstorms will form in the afternoon and evening, bringing the risk of severe weather. And then we have a slight chance for some more thunderstorms on Saturday and again on Sunday afternoon. Now, after a high today of 89, we'll drop down into the upper 50s tonight and only be in the upper 70s tomorrow. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
85 degrees under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 106. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
106, 6 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, coming to you live from Chicago, McCormick Place, Book Expo 2004. Just to remind you, we'll be doing a special edition of Enid Live tomorrow, noon to 3, more authors, George Carlin's supposed to talk tomorrow night. There is a Jon Stewart breakfast, and then there's another kind of breakfast with Tom Wolfe and a lot of other people, and it's fascinating. And President Clinton spoke last night, and I haven't even had a chance to tell you what he said, although it splashed all over the newspapers, but I can tell you all the juicy stuff that none of the newspapers covered. We'll be talking about that. Joining me now, because Joe Anderson, my producer, and Billy Thorpe, executive producer, are big comic fans. And there is a whole genre of book publishing known now in a more Tony way as the graphic novel, but it's really comic books. And they are really taking off, and oddly enough, some of them are taking off with women more than men. And joining me to talk about it is Steve Kleckner, who is with Tokyo Pop. Now, Steve, what is Tokyo Pop?
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
We are the leading publisher of manga or graphic novels.
Mongo or manga?
Manga.
M-A-N-G-A, which in Italian means manga.
And it's not to eat, or in the South we like to call it manga here, but it is manga. And manga simply
means... Well, mango is like...
Whimsical comics. But
okay.
What we do are graphic novels, and the real difference between cartoons or superhero comics in America, which is a fabulous art form, and manga really is that comic books in America are a very sophisticated art form with a rather simplistic storyline, okay?
Okay.
And 99% male readership. And most of them are now my age, okay, in their 40s. But fabulous artwork. Manga or graphic novels are...
And that's a Japanese term.
Yes.
Because this
and
is a big Japanese thing.
They also do it, and I'll explain it worldwide. There's big in Korea where it's called manhwa, but it's the same thing. We publish a lot of Korean manhwa in the U.S., so it doesn't have to be Japanese. As a matter of fact, we're now publishing American manga, looking for manga artists. We run contests in the United States. We did this through Borders, and we do it through Suncoast, and we get American boys and girls to show their work because we're trying to bring American manga to the rest of the world.
All right, so you were saying about comics that graphically they're sophisticated with a really simplistic storyline.
And
how is manga different?
Manga's all black and white art, and it actually, you can trace the art style of Big Eyes back to Bambi with Walt Disney in the 40s. That's where it really started.
Well, what about Big Eyes? What about the keen...
And the sharp
keen paintings.
Yes.
Big Eyes.
Big Eyes, Save the World is the joke. But what you get in manga is black and white art, which may not be quite as sophisticated as the color American art, but the stories are much more sophisticated.
Give us an example of an art form with stories.
Give you a great idea. The two biggest selling series last year in the United States for manga was a series called Chobits, which is done by four women from Japan called Clamp. They did the original Sailor Moon, which was cartoon series, and Cardcaptor Sakura and things like that. Very unique art styles. All the series are different. Chobits last year was a series about what happens 50, 60 years from now when children interact with computers that are human-like and no longer know how to interact with humans. It's a fairly sophisticated story for 17-year-olds. The other one, like Love Hina, was simply a comedy. And these are not a genre. There's all kinds of subgenres. There's science fiction. There's romance. There's fantasy. These are the same people reading Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and graduate to the classics. And the greatest thing about manga for booksellers in America, and this is according to Jim Riggio, the chairman of Barnes & Noble, who calls it the fastest growing thing he's seen in American publishing in 100 years, is that it is bringing a lot of female readership.
Why are
60% of our readership last year was female.
Why? To what do you attribute that? If 99%, I mean, in the tradition of this country is if you were big on comics,
right,
you were usually a guy.
Right. Well, these are books, and these are finite stories. They may be serialized, but each one is a finite story, and I'll give you a great example. They deal with real-world issues. You know, we all think that when we got older, our children would talk to us because we were hipper than the generation before us, which is total nonsense. And it's still peer groups and everything, and the books are not condescending. Let me give you a great advantage. We also do a series of, like, Cinemanga, which is nothing more than licensed color books for kids, and we do a lot of Disney and Nickelodeon, SpongeBob, Lizzie McGuire, Kim Possible, things people know.
SpongeBob is a manga book?
We do a children's manga book for SpongeBob.
All right, and again, when you're talking manga, for those people who are just tuning in, it is essentially a Japanese word for comic book,
right,
or graphic, or I see the sign graphic novel. I love that.
It's a story with graphics.
When I think of a graphic novel, I usually think of an X-rated novel.
Well, actually, we don't do that, and it can be anything in Japan, but here, actually, the graphic novel, and the term was invented by an American named Will Eisner, who was the first guy that got comics into Sunday newspapers in the United States in the 40s. And
now,
he wrote the first graphic novel.
Don't you think it's interesting in Denver, anyway?
Which was, by the way, about the problem of Nazis.
Oh, really?
In the late 30s, actually.
The Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News work under a joint operating agreement. And I think, I'm not entirely certain, but it seemed to me I saw a story about this, that they're reducing the number of comics. And I think a lot of newspapers have reduced the number of comics that they're running on their pages.
Right.
And yet, at the same time, is it that those are just old-fashioned, old-style comics with storylines that have been going on for 80 years?
Absolutely.
People are just tired of them?
Well, I'll give you a great example. I don't mean to single out anyone, but my children don't read Beetle Bailey. Okay.
Well, Prince Valiant. I mean, who reads Prince Valiant?
Right. And you don't even see the haircuts anymore. But but the great thing about the stories is they're not condescending. They deal with real-world issues. And my example is going to be Lizzie McGuire. I could see after watching the show why girls would love it, because it talked about real-world problems. How do you buy a bra when you're 13 years old? No girl's going to go talk to dad about that. You know, and this is getting it in a very informative and fun way. And
so your audience is a young audience. It's a,
well,
what,
actually,
a teen and 20
depends.
Audience?
The real core is really anywhere from 15 to 40, to be honest, because there's all kinds of different stories. The great thing is there's adult stories. And one of the things we do for parents and booksellers we think is very important is we rate all the books, and we're leading the industry of graphic novels to do this, so mom and dad and the bookseller know what age group it's appropriate. Some are very young children series. Some are older teens. Some are mature, so we really use the Sony PlayStation rating on every book, so you know if it's an older teen or young for all ages or young adult, so that parents know what the content, what's appropriate. And the first people that discovered the strength of manga in the United States, I have to give them credit, are librarians, because it's the only type of literature that gets kids going to libraries that would never go otherwise.
Well, you do have kids going to libraries for J.K. Rowling books, right?
Absolutely.
You have them going for R.L. Stein books.
Yes,
you have them going for DVDs. In Denver, they have more DVDs and videotapes than they do actual books, in my view.
Right.
So manga, librarians are noticing that the kids are coming in for manga. And again, it's a relatively new genre, at least a new term for a genre that's been around.
This has all exploded in the last 3-4 years in the United States. And I'll give you a great example. In Europe, it's much further along. In France, Germany, Italy, Spain. And the U.K. is about 4 years behind us. We just opened in the U.K., and we're going to lead it there. And within 2 or 3 years, you're going to see the same phenomenon. And the reason I think, this is my theory of why it's so big with younger people, they grew up on the Internet. We all may be Internet savvy and use it, but we didn't grow up on it. They grew up on video games, which is all manga-style art.
How does that change you, if you grow up on the Internet
and
you grow up on video games? In what ways can you even... Can you even describe how your wiring is different?
I can't describe that, but what I see within, and my theory on this, is that a lot of adults like to say they have no attention span anymore. I argue that. I think kids are used to doing 4 things at one time. They grew up doing this. They learned to multitask long.
So do they have the attention span, and they can divide it up and doing 4 things at once?
They need to get it faster, or they're bored. They need more information, faster, quicker, and more sophisticated than the generations before them. They are used to doing their homework, looking at the Internet, listening to a radio station. They could be downloading a CD at that time and deciding what DVD they're going to buy. And to deal with them very linear, they're used to stories with pictures with sound. And that's what they grew up on, and that's why manga is such a phenomenon.
Tokyo Pop, Steve Kleckner, thank you so much for joining us
so
and telling us all about manga.
And it's a pleasure to see you.
I'm Edith Goldstein. You're listening. I thought of it as an entree or something,
and
an appetizer.
And I tell you, the next time you go into any bookstore in your wonderful city, you will find that there are a tremendous amount of people of all ages and all races and all sexes buying manga that never used to frequent those bookstores.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC, broadcasting live from McCormick Place in Chicago.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Enid Goldstein.
KNRC.
We have to talk.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Tune in Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:55 as I discuss financial issues of the week with Willis Ashby of Integra Financial, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Windows. Doesn't it seem like everybody's in the window business these days? At Alpine Window and Door, they believe you deserve quality, value, and experience in your remodeling project. Alpine Window and Door has been serving the Denver area for nearly a quarter century, offering a large selection of fine vinyl and wood products by Weathershield, Anderson, Pella, Traco, and Therma-True. With so many choices, rely on Alpine's experienced staff to help you make the correct one. The Alpine Window and Door staff takes a sincere interest in your project, whether it's a standard window replacement or a complete redesign to create a whole new look. At Alpine Window and Door, their remodeling specialists are with you from the beginning to the end of your project. If you want for true value, quality, and experience from an established, proven company, call Alpine Window and Door at 303-431-1000. That's 431-1000. Or visit their convenient showrooms in Wheat Ridge or Highlands Ranch and speak with one of their experts. You'll be looking through windows a whole new way after you visit Alpine Window and Door.
Tune in to AM 1150 KNRC on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. for the Kiefel Cycling Hour, featuring seven-time Tour de France competitor and Olympic bronze medalist Ron Kiefel. Ron and Megan will talk about cycling news, equipment, and great local rides. It doesn't matter if you're training for the Tour de France like Ron Kiefel, or in Megan's case, just taking those training wheels off for the first time. The Kiefel Cycling Hour has something for everyone, every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. on AM 1150 KNRC.
Join our Voice at Work fraternity. It's growing every day.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, in the office, the car, on the ride home.
If you support live and local radio for the Denver metro market, go to our website at knrcradio.com and click on the Voice at Work logo.
This is going to be the most astounding thing you've ever heard of.
If you listen to KNRC at your place of business, you'll get up to 10 free t-shirts for your employees.
Well, that stuff sounds pretty good.
When you sign up as a member of KNRC's Voice at Work program, our host will mention your business on the air as a local supporter of the station. Your place of business will be added to the Voice at Work portion of the KNRC website. We want all of our listeners to know the local places that support local radio. We'll also send you KNRC t-shirts, bumper static stickers, and commuter coffee mugs.
I mean, that's a great deal.
Go to knrcradio.com and join the Voice at Work fraternity. Another way to say thank you for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
You guys are great. I love listening.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC. While Rush is telling you just what he thinks, Enid Goldstein will find out what you think. What you think. Hear the Rush Alternative. Weekdays at noon on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC. Now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
119 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, coming to you live from Chicago, McCormick Place, Book Expo 2004, filled with authors, people involved in the business of publishing, publicists, I mean, you name it, entourages. This is really a fascinating. And booths, I'm telling you, it's the size of several football fields. I would say a dozen football fields just in this one area of McCormick Place where Book Expo is being held. And the promotional objects being given away are amazing. Joining us is a first-time novelist, Meg Waite Clayton. Her new book, which was published in late last year, November of last year, called The Language of Light. Thank you for joining us today, Meg.
My pleasure, Ian, and thank you.
What interested me is a couple of things. First of all, that you're a first-time novelist, and your publisher is a really good house, St. Martin's, and the book is described as, quote, an engaging and compassionate portrait of an artist learning to embrace the full potential of her power. And then it goes on to say, Meg Waite Clayton writes with a photographer's precision, clarity, and care. I like the idea, a compassionate portrait of an artist learning to embrace the full potential of her power. Talk to me about that theme, because I think it's probably everybody's theme song. Whether you're an artist or whether you're just a human being trying to find your place in the world and trying to harness and come upon your own power.
I absolutely agree, Enid. In this particular novel, my protagonist is a photographer, and she's a woman who's grown up with a photographer father who's very famous, and so she has those very hard shoes to fill. And so it's in that kind of circumstance, I think it's especially difficult because you have something, a high bar to compare yourself to.
Everybody else looking in on a situation like that might envy it, because it's here somebody born to a family or a father who's so successful, and you think, oh, well, that person's got it all. But in fact, it can be really difficult if you're in that situation.
Well, I think that's right. There are the two sides to it. There's the foot in the door that really does get you a start sometimes, and my protagonist, whose name is Nellie Grace, does actually end up using that little foot in the door at one point in time during the book. But it's also, if it's like if you were you know, Ernest Hemingway's child, how do you sit down and write a book?
Well, if you're Ernest Hemingway's child, you drink too much. You have mental problems. His granddaughter, one of them, apparently committed suicide. I think Marielle is one we had on. What was the other one? Forget her name.
Margo.
And Marielle, I think, had eating disorders. So it's coming from that kind of a lineage, so maybe isn't all it looks like from the outside. This is your first novel.
Absolutely.
How did you come to it? Did you always know you were a novelist?
I always wanted to write. I grew up in suburban America where everybody was doctors and lawyers and professionals, business people. I didn't know any writers. I had never connected the fact, really, that real people wrote books. But I was a huge reader as a child, and I always wanted to read. Wanted to write. I went on to practice law for a few years, and then when my children were being born, my husband looked at me and said, you know, you're not getting any younger. If you really want to be a writer, why don't you give it a try?
What kind of law were you doing?
I was doing corporate work, merger and acquisition work mostly.
Was it in Northern California?
It was in Southern California, actually, with a firm that's, I understand now, the largest firm in the world. So it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it while I was doing it. I wouldn't trade it back for the world from writing now.
Did you leave it to write, or did you leave it and then decided this would be a good time to write?
I left it to write.
That's a very big jump. From mergers and acquisitions to writing your first novel.
It was actually really a hard jump because being a lawyer in that environment is a very social world, and you are interacting with people 24/7 just about, and you go from there to being a writer, and it's very solitary. Yeah. And at the same time that I made that jump, we moved to a horse farm in the Maryland countryside where the book is set, where The Language of Light is set. And so I went from a very social environment where I was making a lot of money and getting a lot of pats on the back to a very isolated environment where I had two small children at home and was trying to do something I had no idea whether I could do or not.
So the theme that you're writing about in some ways mirrors your own theme as you are attempting to be the artist or the writer. he's saying, gosh, he said, you'll have me thinking I'm president again. He says that he is a book lover, that when he left the White House, that he had 5,000 or 6,000 books. 4,000 of them were shipped to his library. 1,000 of them or so were shipped to his home. He said, my senator's home in Washington. He said, and the rest to his home in New York, in Chappaqua, New York. He said he's built as many bookshelves as the home can possibly handle. There's no more place to build bookshelves. And he trips over them. And I can certainly identify with that. I would hate for you to see my loft. It's like the tattered cover, and our office at the station, it looks about the same. He recommends, Bill Clinton gave a wonderful talk. I'm reminded of how good he was. He connects with people, the things he has to say, he says them well, he makes a really good case, and he makes it seem like it's effortless. But he said that he recommends anybody who's older than 50 to take a little bit of time and write your life, maybe just a couple of weekends, maybe you never hope to have it published. But he says it's therapeutic, and it gives you a lot of insights into yourself. He says that he feels fortunate to have been among the last of Americans growing up in a pre-TV age. He said he was 10 when the family finally got a television set. And he says this because in the tradition that he came from, way out in the country in a poor family, the tradition was to be storytellers. And you kind of one-upped each other as storytellers. You didn't get to tell a story unless you listened. And it honed your ability to be a good listener. And if you're a good listener, it helps in your ability to be a good storyteller. He says that most of entertainment, when he was growing up, centered around storytelling. And in the storytelling, and when you were a child, the idea happened to be to make the ordinary extraordinary, sometimes to make the extraordinary ordinary. He says, I liked people. And he says, I learned to listen to their stories. Well, you can tell that he likes people. He says in his house in Chappaqua now, he can hardly, there's just a path that he has to walk without, he can hardly get from one room to the other without bumping his toes on books. He said, he talked about the 60s excesses, but that the 60s were also a profoundly idealistic generation. And he went on to say that he's not... He was not talking about who's good or who's bad, and he talked a little bit about politics, but he says about who's right and who's wrong, and that conservative Republicans are different today than they were about 20 years ago. He also says he's not as worried as maybe I am and a lot of the rest of us are about this presidency, that in the sweep of American history, there have been times like this, which he sees as being on the verge of major change, that... He says that he went on to make the point that he's not as concerned. And I wondered if he said that because he's hoping that Dickey gets elected for 4 more years, making life safe for Hillary when she decides to run 4 years from now. He says politics is not religion. We need to govern not on the basis of faith, but on the basis of evidence. And that was a line that got a huge applause. He said, after 9/11, our unity was taken for weakness. And I thought that was an interesting idea. After 9/11, our unity was taken for weakness. One of the things, if you think about it, one of the themes that we have been talking about on Enid Live has been the theme of the common good and how that has been sacrificed in the political arena, in the business arena. Everybody's in it for themselves. And I've long said, only half tongue in cheek, that the motto of the country should be changed from In God We Trust to What's in It for Me. But he says politicians are more honest and they're of a better quality than they have ever been in the last 20 or 30 years. More about what Bill Clinton had to say last night. It was a terrific speech. I mean, it was really a barn burner. And more authors as we continue live from McCormick Place, live from Chicago. I'm Enid Goldstein, Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. One more hour right here, all about books and juicy gossip, too.
NBC. KNRC News Radio. I'm Brian Williams. Five Americans were killed today when their vehicle was attacked outside Baghdad. Several other U.S. soldiers were wounded. The streets were filled with jeers as President Bush arrived in Rome today for talks with Italian leaders. Thousands of demonstrators lined the streets to protest the war in Iraq. Earlier at their Vatican meeting, the Pope restated his opposition and urged the U.S. to get out of Iraq as soon as possible. NBC's Keith Miller says the Pope wanted to discuss some other concerns.
And those are those pictures from Abu Ghraib prison, the Pope calling it deplorable. He didn't mention the prison specifically, but the human rights abuses going on in Iraq and in the Middle East he described as deplorable.
Two U.S. Marines are bound for prison after pleading guilty to charges of abusing an Iraqi prisoner by jolting him with electricity. It happened not at Abu Ghraib prison, but at another jail south of the city of Baghdad. I'm Brian Williams, NBC News Radio.
This is Rocky Moselle. Are you fed up with spam and bulk email? I am. So let's do something about it. I have launched the Do Not Call list for email. We don't have to wait for the government. We can do this ourselves. The large email houses account for billions of emails per day and make millions with your personal information. We will take you off their list. This service is 100% free. Sign up now and take back part of your identity. Log on to ethicalemail.com. Don't let your personal information be a commodity. That's ethicalemail.com.
Want a bonus this Saturday? Don't miss the JCPenney Saturday bonus sale with huge savings throughout the store. Save 20 to 60% store-wide. Plus, shop early for fantastic doorbusters 9 a.m. to 1. And the big bonus, save even more with bonus coupons. An extra $10 off your purchase of $50 or more, an extra $15 off $75 or more. Don't miss the JCPenney Saturday bonus sale.
It's all in time.
JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale on Tuesday.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for Journalistic Excellence, including Best Newscast. Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 87 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Two CDOT workers were struck by a car and killed this morning. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Freeway is still moving along in very, very good shape this afternoon. No accidents or stalls. Start to see a little bit of increase in volume, perhaps in anticipation of the afternoon rush, but again, no accidents or other obstructions. Southbound Sheridan at I-76, an accident. Another one coming in from Bowles and Wadsworth, and still one more just now being reported. Westbound Highway 285 approaching Wadsworth, so use caution there. Reported service at the Department of Transportation. Here's another tip from CDOT. Before passing another trail user, make sure your approach is well known in advance. Remember, everyone has to share the trails. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Two CDOT workers were killed early this morning when a woman driving the wrong way on I-25 struck and killed the men who were filling potholes. The woman could face vehicular homicide charges. This report brought to you by Subway. A 14-year-old Inglewood boy may face arson charges after a slumber party gone bad. Detective Perry Shellpfeffer says the 14-year-old and a 12-year-old boy decided to spend the night in a 1969 Ford Mustang parked in the backyard of the 14-year-old's home on South Logan. They removed the front seats and brought in a TV.
14-year-old decided he wanted to inhale some gasoline, so he went to go get some gasoline out of a can and brought the can into the car. He was doing that, and at some point he lit a cigarette. They both fell asleep, and a fire erupted.
The 14-year-old was injured in the fire, but his chum is okay. Shellpfeffer says detectives are treating this incident as an active arson investigation. They say the 14-year-old could be charged with fourth-degree arson. In sports, the Colorado Rockies open a four-game homestand tonight against the San Francisco Giants. Joe Kennedy climbs the hill for the Rocks tonight. Try one of Subway's four new fresh salads, like the grilled chicken and baby spinach. All are made fresh before your eyes with your choice of regular or carb-controlled dressings. Subway, eat fresh. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 2:04.
Hello?
Hear Colorado talk.
We have to talk.
From Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC.
Have you heard the exciting news?
What?
The Jazz Aspen Snowmass June Festival, presented by Janus Capital Group, is coming back to downtown Aspen June 24th through 27th with more live music than ever before.
I already knew. You mean Wynton Marsalis, Natalie Cole, Al Green, Buddy Guy, Modesky Martin and Wood, Rebirth Brass Band, Shelby Lynn, Curtis Steigers, The Soul Survivors, with Ernie Watts, Les McCann and Cornell Dupree, Yerba Buena, and more? It's all anyone's talking about.
plus free concerts on the mall, after dark performances all over town, and a free gospel concert under the main tent on Sunday at noon with the mighty clouds of joy.
I bought my four-day pass for $99 last week.
I'm on my way to call for tickets at 866-JASTIXX.
You can also purchase tickets on the web at jazzaspen.org.
Thanks for the tip. Remember, the Jazz Aspen Snowmass June Festival, presented by Janus Capital Group, is where it's at in 2004.
For lodging and ticket packages, please call 1-800-SNOWMASS.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy and hot today with a high of 89. Isolated thunderstorms will form in the afternoon and evening, bringing the risk of severe weather. And then we have a slight chance for some more thunderstorms on Saturday and again on Sunday afternoon. Now, after a high today of 89, we'll drop down into the upper 50s tonight and only be in the upper 70s tomorrow. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 83 now. KNRC news time is 2:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board Operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:06, 6 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, live from Chicago, McCormick Place, Book Expo 2004. And the reason I'm here is, first of all, we're one of the few radio shows, really shows anywhere, where we're doing active coverage of authors and arts and thought and politicians, all of those, that whole realm of ideas. So it made a lot of sense to be here. And aren't you lucky? Because we are finding out about what we can expect in the coming year, the books that are going to be blockbusters that the industry knows about, that we don't know about, but you and I are finding this out today. And, for example, the talk that Clinton gave last night, and I'll share some more of it with you. If you happen to be watching C-SPAN, it was televised on C-SPAN last night. And, you know, that book is going to be a blockbuster. That's 1.5 million copies. He says that he doesn't settle too many scores, that he's harder on himself. But in talking the way he did last night, what he's doing is he's really building up a lot of buzz in the book industry. He was introduced by Sunny Mehta. Sunny Mehta heads up Knopf. Sunny Mehta is a big deal in the book industry. So all in all, it's part of the marketing and what goes on in the creation, the manufacture, the publicity, the pushing of books in America. Joining us right now is John V. Elmore. He has a new book coming out called Fighting for Your Life, The African-American Criminal Justice Survival Guide. John, thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about the book, and when does it come out?
Well, the book has been out since March 15th.
Oh, it is out. Okay,
it's,
I thought
it's
coming out. All right.
Yes. And basically, we're in a situation now where there's an extremely disproportionate number of African Americans incarcerated. With respect to African American males, here we are in the 50th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education,
right,
and we have more African American males in jail than in college. So I'm a former New York State trooper. I'm a former assistant district attorney in Manhattan. I've been a criminal defense attorney for 20 years, and I decided to write a book to address this issue. Number one, young African-American men need to know how to understand and deal with the criminal justice system. How do you deal with police? What do you do if you're stopped? How to dress, act, and appear in court? How to hire an attorney?
Let's talk about that, because there's always a lot of talk about racial profiling, for example, so that they would be stopped more often. We always hear stories about African-American males, if they happen to be driving too fancy a car, quote, too fancy a car, might make them a target for being stopped. Can you address that?
Well, certainly. It's clear, and there's been states where there's been findings and lawsuits where there's been findings that police do profile, particularly in New Jersey, and stop African-Americans at a disproportionate rate than white folks. But and that's going to happen. But what I'm trying to do is to tell the people, when they get stopped, how to handle themselves so that they don't get arrested, so that they don't get searched.
How do you handle yourself so that you don't get arrested, don't get searched?
Be polite.
Be polite.
You have to understand.
Well, there's a surprise.
Police officer has a gun. He has a nightstick. He has handcuffs.
Smile
at him.
And he's got authority.
Smile at him. Be polite. Address him. Yes, sir. No, sir. And he'll say, sorry for stopping you, and let you go.
So that's it?
That's it.
What else?
Don't pick a fight that you can't win. I mean, if you're standing on a corner and a police officer tells you to leave, don't argue with him. Leave. Big mouth will get you arrested. I'm a former New York State trooper. I've been a prosecutor. I've been a defense attorney for 20 years.
Did you work with Linda Fairstein?
I worked under Linda Fairstein.
You did? She's been a guest on my show.
She worked in sex crimes. I was in Trial Bureau 60.
Did you work with JFK Jr.? He was in that office.
I was in between John and Bobby. John started after me, and Bobby left just before I did.
Bobby Kennedy?
That's correct, yeah. But it was a great office. I mean, my office mate was Dan Rather Jr. at the time, to tell you a funny story, I'm playing basketball. There was 350 lawyers there, so we had a basketball team with a basketball league with 10 teams. And I'm banging elbows with a kid and getting a little shoving match. And then the coach, who was my bureau chief, says, "No, take it easy on that guy. That's the governor's son. That's Andy Como." So there's a lot of celebrities in the office.
All right, now you go into that pressure cooker environment.
That's correct. But I'm originally from Western New York, so I decided to raise my family in an environment that's more civil, and we're in Buffalo, New York, and we're very happy to be there in Buffalo.
If I get stopped, if it's not a racial issue, they just hate women or whatever, how do I not get a ticket other than yes or no, sir?
You know, you just have to be polite. And you know, I mean, and the thing that's amazing to me is that if you're a drug dealer, why in the heck are you talking on your cell phone? Why don't you have your seatbelt buckled up? Why do you not have your car inspection up to date? Or, you know, registration
because you answered your own question. You're too addled on drugs. So, or you're too addled on making the next deal.
You know,
So in other words, you're doing the dumb things. They get you, if you get you busted, like a headlight out, not using your seatbelt, your tags aren't up to date, right?
Right. Don't give them a reason to stop you. Sure. That's what the book is about. And the book is also, I mean, you know, you got the Kobe Bryant trial in
Colorado.
In Colorado. Yeah. And there's a chapter in there on sex crimes. I've represented a lot of people who go to college, have had consensual sex with a girl, and then go to the fraternity party and brag about it. And then what becomes consensual sex has become a rape because they open up their mouth.
So then she becomes embarrassed, and then she says he raped me.
That's correct. There's a chapter, Loose Lips Sink Ships. And never have sex with a stranger, because if you have sex with a stranger, you might end up like Kobe Bryant or Mike Tyson. And had they read that book, they wouldn't be in the situation.
I was just going to ask you, what advice, if Kobe were sitting right here, what advice you, John Elmore, would you give him? Your book is called Fighting for Your Life, The African-American Criminal Justice Survival Guide. What would you say, Kobe, I don't care if you're making zillions of dollars a minute.
Don't have sex with a stranger, especially when you have a beautiful wife like he has.
Well, you know what the tabs are saying? The tabs are reporting that she's been quietly consulting a divorce attorney.
That's a shame, because that's a very expensive sexual encounter if he has to pay her 50% of his earnings for the rest of his life.
In California, that's right.
That's correct. But the thing about Kobe Bryant that's unusual is he's probably going to be tried in front of an all-white jury. And there's a chapter in the book called Can African Americans Have a Fair Trial in Front of an All-White Jury?
Can they?
If they have the right lawyer who knows how to question the prospective jurors about racial issues and is comfortable getting the people to discuss racial issues, and if he has a judge that will follow the law and allow that judge to
yeah,
question.
But Kobe Bryant is beyond race, I think. He's somebody who is in his own stellar environment. I say, but maybe I'm not the right judge of it, I say he's somebody who's beyond race. He's got top attorneys.
He's got
a lot of money.
He's got
tremendous recognition.
He does. But
they have really discredited or tried to discredit the accuser.
The danger that he has is having potential jurors that are just really against interracial dating or interracial marriage. And those, as long as the judge and the lawyers are skilled enough and sound enough to get rid of those jurors, I think you will have a fair trial.
So how do you do that? How do you get rid of those jurors when you're doing the jury selection?
Well, there's a process in jury selection called voir dire,
right,
where the lawyers question the prospective jurors. And some lawyers are just uncomfortable getting the prospective jurors to talk about race, and some judges don't allow the lawyers to go into that issue. So for him to have a fair juror and unbiased jury.
So if you were doing a voir dire, what would you say? What questions would you ask if the judge allowed it?
Well, first of all, I'd ask the prospective jurors what their the racial attitudes of their parents were. Because people don't like to come right out and say I'm prejudiced, but you can learn a lot about their racial
feelings
from their parents.
If you talk about their parents.
Yeah, that's one of the questions.
Well, you know what? They might just say they're prejudiced just to get out of jury duty, too.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been called up for jury duty.
And you didn't want to serve?
No. Well, I have been called up. They have always thrown me off because I'm a member of the media, but I'm up for jury service when I get back.
Well, I think you'd be a very fair juror because fair jurors are people that you wouldn't mind sitting down having dinner with or having a drink with, and you seem like a very nice person, although we've just met.
Right. Well, thank you. I like your version of it. I'm sure some of my listeners who are staunch conservative Republicans might not agree with you. So I want to talk to you about this issue of why so many incarcerations of African-American males. Are they doing most of the crimes? Is it more that they're targets? Is it some combination of the two?
It's a combination of the two. Number one, we're in a situation now where a lot of jobs are being outsourced. You get out of high school, it used to be you could get a job in a steel plant, you could get a job in some kind of manufacturing plant without any education. The dropout rate is very high. 70% now of children in African-American families are being raised by single parents. And that makes it tough.
What do you think about what Bill Cosby said the other day? He got into a lot of soup, but a lot of people also applauded him for saying it. He talks about parents who aren't doing the job of parenting, and he's specifically talking about the community, the African-American community, a kind of low-rent parent who's happy to buy the $500 sneaker but won't pop for a couple hundred bucks for Hooked on Phonics, is I think what Cosby said, who don't act like real parents.
Oh, I'll agree with that 100%, and it needs to be said. And the book that I've written is a wake-up call to America, not just the African-American
community. Why is it a wake-up call? What are you saying to us?
Well, like for instance, well, number one, I talk a lot about the unfairness of the system and how to make it fair. 125 people were convicted, sentenced to death, and later found out to be innocent. And those are only just death penalty cases. There are a lot. That's a dirty secret in our American judicial system. Innocent people do sometimes get found guilty.
Well, a whole bunch of them were let loose, or Governor Ryan let them go here in Chicago.
And we talk about
in Illinois.
That. Right. We talk about that. A lot of it has to do with false confessions. You know, a lot of times the police will take somebody in the back room and talk to them and say, look, you're facing life imprisonment or you're facing 25 years in jail. Just sign this piece of paper and admitting what you did, and we'll talk to the DA and make things a lot easier for you. And then sometimes people get tricked into doing that. I propose in the book that in order for a confession to be admissible at trial, that it be videotaped and let the jury decide whether or not there were any tricks or coercion or force to get a person to sign a confession so that you don't have that. A lot of people are convicted because of misidentification. There are situations when a person is brought to in the presence of a crime victim and the police may somehow suggest to the victim that that's the right person that they got. Those should be videotaped as well. So
then the victim says, yeah, I think it was so-and-so.
The victim says,
so-and-so A or B or
right. And
in
then,
the lineup.
Exactly. And then you don't have innocent people getting convicted. But there are, that's a dirty secret. Innocent people can get convicted.
What are some other dirty secrets of the criminal justice system?
Well, sometimes guilty people get off.
How does that happen? They get a good attorney? Well, can we spell O.J. Simpson?
My personal feeling is that O.J. did it.
Yeah.
I see people get convicted every day on a lot less evidence than in an O.J. trial.
Have you been involved in a trial where someone you knew to be guilty walked?
I haven't lost a trial since 1998.
But you must know of other cases.
Well, no. I mean, have I represented people? I've represented people that I felt committed the crime, but the prosecution didn't do the job of proving the case beyond a reasonable doubt. So they're innocent always unless the prosecution proves the case beyond a reasonable doubt.
Are you watching the Lacey Peterson? We've been so far been a pretty much Lacey Peterson free zone, but have you been watching any of the stuff on court TV or on television?
I try not to. I kind of get sick of it.
but they're saying that the prosecution hadn't done its job, they're saying that the prosecution should have made its case, stated it much more succinctly, but it took a whole day to do it, and everybody's giving them on a scale of 1 to 10. The prosecution got a 0 by some accounts. Did you see any of that?
No, I read about it, but in my opinion, if people's attention span doesn't last more than 45 minutes to an hour. So I would never give
You would never take a whole day to lay out a case.
Never. You tell them an hour.
Could they have been thinking? Why did they take a whole day to lay out a case? They think they have so much information? They're trying to make a case bit by bit because there's no smoking gun? Is that the story?
In my opinion, in prosecutors' offices, where it's a major high-profile case, the administrators who don't know how to try cases, they kind of take over.
Because there's so much scrutiny here and they don't want to look stupid and bureaucratic.
Correct. That's
so
correct.
Then they mess it up?
Let the lawyers do their job and it'll be fine. Yeah, the lawyers that do it every day. But the administrators kind of take over. That may be the case.
John Elmore, thank you for joining us today. John Elmore has written a book called Fighting for Your Life, The African-American Criminal Justice Survival Guide. And I think it's a survival guide for anybody who might find themselves in the unwelcoming arms of the criminal justice system.
Well, I want to thank you for having me and say hello and introduce myself to everyone in Denver.
Are you going to be coming through? Are you coming to the Tatter Cover?
If invited. Denver's just hearing about me today.
Yeah, I've invited. Come and see us in Denver.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from McCormick Place in Chicago, Book Expo 2004. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Enid Goldstein.
KNRC.
We have to talk.
Windows. Doesn't it seem like everybody's in the window business these days? At Alpine Window & Door, they believe you deserve quality, value, and experience in your remodeling project. Alpine Window & Door has been serving the Denver area for nearly a quarter century, offering a large selection of fine vinyl and wood products by Weathershield, Anderson, Pella, Traco, and Therma-True. With so many choices, rely on Alpine's experienced staff to help you make the correct one. The Alpine Window & Door staff takes a sincere interest in your project, whether it's a standard window replacement or a complete redesign to create a whole new look. At Alpine Window & Door, their remodeling specialists are with you from the beginning to the end of your project. If you want for true value, quality, and experience from an established, proven company, call Alpine Window & Door at 303-431-1000. That's 431-1000. Or visit their convenient showrooms in Wheat Ridge or Highlands Ranch and speak with one of their experts. You'll be looking through windows a whole new way after you visit Alpine Window & Door.
KNRC presents Bill Maher at the Paramount Theater Saturday, June 12th.
I will give George Bush credit for this. He is working a lot harder than he thought he'd have to.
For tickets, visit HOB.com.
You know what? You got to get over that. Al Gore lost that election all by himself by maintaining his pledge to end charisma as we know it.
Or call 303-830-8497.
Seriously, the Republicans did not steal that election. It did fall off a truck.
Bill Maher at the Paramount, June 12th. Brought to you by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Jed Lesher, CNBC Business Radio. The Dow is up 78 points. The Nasdaq is up 29. Investors like today's report from the Labor Department. It says almost a quarter million jobs were added to payrolls in May with gains across the board. It's cold comfort for thousands of people who work at Maytag and MCI. Both companies announced plans today to downsize their workforces, Maytag by 20%, MCI by 15%. The snapshot of America's employment picture fuels anticipation that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates when it meets at the end of this month. If you've been waiting to buy a new car or truck, analysts say you will likely find even better deals in the next month or two. Auto Data Corporation says incentives in May rose nearly 12% from a year ago, averaging more than $3,000 per vehicle. Oil prices eased again today, helping oil-sensitive stocks like Delta and Southwest, which are leading gains in the airline sector. John Lesher, CNBC Business Radio.
How do you help keep health care affordable? By teaming up with physicians and their patients to find new ways to care for chronic conditions like diabetes and asthma. That's what many local Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies are doing to reduce medical complications and unnecessary costs. Harvard Medical School has recognized this as a promising way to improve quality and control the rising cost of health care. Learn more at bcbs.com. The Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association is an association of independent Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies.
This cow is trying to say new Coffee Mate half and half. Sadly, cows can't make the n sound. Only the mmm sound, as in moo Coffee Mate half and half. That's right. And since cows can't say in creamy delicious flavors like hazelnut and vanilla, I'll be enhancing this cow's dialogue.
You tell them. Just like Moon Nestle Coffee Mate Half and Half enhances your coffee, as only coffee's perfect mate can. Look for the Easy Pour package in the refrigerator section. Now you're just being a hog.
At this time, while our fighting men and women are overseas fighting for our freedoms, let's enjoy this summer. But AM 1150 KNRC wants to salute those who are fighting the terrorists.
Our enemy is a radical network of terrorists and every government that supports them.
KNRC wants to salute those who are fighting terrorism. Thanks for all you're doing. AM 1150 KNRC. As you tune the radio dial, or just punch across it, you found all that clutter on the other Denver talk stations. And then there is AM 1150 KNRC. More talk time per hour than the other stations. Without all the interruptions, lock us in on your first preset, AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:25 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. What you're hearing is the remainders of the rock bottom remainders, and that is Ridley Pearson, two of my favorite writers, Ridley Pearson and Dave Barry, who have jointly decided to write their first children's book. It's a prequel to Peter Pan, and it's called Peter and the Starcatcher. Disney Editions is the publisher, and when will it be out?
August. August 30th, yeah.
August 30th, okay.
It's Peter and the Starcatchers, plural.
Catchers, plural,
yeah,
okay.
There's more than one.
There's more, okay.
That's all we can reveal at this time.
They're eating goldfish right now.
We're starving.
They're starving.
Wandering around the convention.
And the goldfish are swimming downstream. Yeah. And tell us about your impressions of the convention, because you are not convention virgins, I wouldn't think.
No, it's just, it's sort of the same. I always think that anybody who ever thought about writing a book.
Dave Barry is who you're listening to right now.
Well, actually, you were listening to Enid just then. Now you're listening to Dave Barry.
But Ridley Pearson is laughing.
That's right. But I always say anybody who's thinking of writing a book should, or has written a book and it's about to get published, and thinks, now that I've written a book, everyone will notice it, and I'll be able to, should come here.
Come here
and spend just a half hour walking around and see, like, there's 53,000 books out there just coming out just now. Every single one of them. Yeah. And, if you're not Stephen King, you're a fairly small fish in a gigantic ocean here. But that's still the feel I get walking around. It's like, I can't believe how many.
I don't think you two are going to have to worry about it.
But,
with your huge reputation.
It's fun to see the booksellers and stuff. I mean, one of the great things about this convention is a lot of it's independent booksellers, and they've always been good to us, and it's fun to see them. So.
Right, that's Ridley kissing some butt there.
Thank you. After all, it's my nose turning brown. There.
No, we do love the booksellers.
All right, now tell us, you were at the two of how many in the Rock Bottom Remainders?
We haven't counted.
Which is a rock band. Amy Tan was just here, and I guess I missed her. Yeah. I didn't see her come in.
Scott Turow.
Mitch Albom is in it.
Yeah.
Stephen King.
Greg Isles.
Roy Blunt Jr. Matt Groening sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes Matt.
And, random people. Roger McGuinn of the Byrds.
You want to give us a sample?
Not at all.
I heard it coming in from that
some people off the road in Denver. Where?
How did you happen to decide to do a children's book?
I will let Ridley answer that.
Well, I was reading Peter Pan to my daughter, who's now 7. She was about 5 at the time, and she looked up into my eyes and said, "Yeah, but Daddy, how did Peter meet Captain Hook?" And there was this beat in my head, and then I went, "Paige, that's its own novel." And I saw Dave the next weekend to do a Remainders gig, and we were talking about it, and we decided to write it together. So it's really fun.
Have you ever Have either of you ever collaborated with anybody on a novel?
I have not.
No. Neither.
And it was an interesting process.
Now wait, you were not, well, yeah, you were, I guess.
We've contributed to, written by 9 author kind of things, but not like this where it's every day you're sending a chapter back and forth.
Right. I mean, we never had actually written like the same chapter together.
How do you do that? How does that work?
We call it ping pong.
Yeah. Somebody writes one first, and then the other one makes additions and changes and edits on it.
And then you actually edit the edit, and then they edit the edit of the edit, and by about the fifth loop, you say, okay, it's ready, and we move on.
Yeah, we would go back and forth till we were both happy.
What did you do? Did you kind of assign each other, you know, you would do half every other? Is that the way it works?
We sat down and outlined it, which is, for me, a very unusual experience. Ridley's fairly organized. I am not, but we outlined the plot, so we knew pretty accurately where we were going to go.
And so there were times that Dave would write three chapters in a row, and then I'd write two. And now that's goldfish flying. You heard that? Sorry. Nemo's hit the rug. Nemo on the rug.
Trying to steal a bite while Ridley was talking to you. Anyway, you were saying, Red, we would...
Well, I don't know what I was saying. I was saying sometimes we'd write two in a row, sometimes I'd write two in a row. The main thing was that we just each edited each other so much that we came up with sort of a single voice without knowing it.
Yeah, and at the end, if I read it back now, I could not tell you who wrote what.
Yeah, it's fun. It's Barry, Barry Pearson wrote this book.
Yeah.
I don't have any of your, I do somewhere, the biographical information. But I should, for some of our listeners, I really should share it with you. Dave Barry writes a column for the Miami Herald, and you're in about 500 newspapers, won a Pulitzer Prize for commentary. There was a TV show, what was it called, Dave Barry's World or something?
Baywatch. It was based on my life.
It was? Did you really have those implants?
That's exactly what, no, I was the guy always drowning in the water. You know? Remember that beach in Baywatch?
Rescue me!
Yeah. And then the people are dying and they run in slow motion.
I understand that in your spare time you are a candidate for a president of the United
States.
That's true. And in what election would that be, this year?
Whatever. You know, not this time, next time.
What's your campaign slogan?
I agree with you.
What is your platform consist of?
Well, I favor the main issue that got me going, and it still strikes a chord, I favor the death penalty for whoever's responsible for making Americans use low-flow toilets.
People don't realize there was
a time in this country we had the toilet, our toilets were the envy of the world. We had toilets that could
You didn't
suck
have to flush them four
sheet.
Times.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding, man. But anyway.
Do you know that there is a lot of smuggling traffic from Canada
I
to
know.
This country?
Written,
because they do the regular toilets and they bring them in.
I have written columns about this. That there's, you know, people, you know, going across the border carrying toilets.
Weren't you given a toilet?
I was given a toilet. I can't reveal.
Okay.
And could you get it installed? Or did they bust you?
We have ways. I live in Miami. We're outside of the U.S. continental limits.
And Ridley Pearson, who was recently on my show in Denver in studio, because you were coming through the tattered cover. Your newest book
is The Body of David Hayes. And we're coming back to Denver in late September to promote Peter and the Starcatchers. Dave and I will be at the tattered cover. We'll hopefully be on your show.
Oh, I'd love to have you on my
show. Yeah.
Okay, so here we have a prequel to Peter Pan, a beloved story written, around the turn of the century or so?
Right, by a guy named Barry,
ironically.
Yes, but spelled differently.
With an I-E and mine's a Y. And our editor is named Wendy.
Figure that out.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Wendy Lefkon, so.
Kismet. So you decide to tell the story of how Peter Pan got to be where he is.
Well, it's a great setup, if you think about it.
And what is the setup?
This guy shows up at a townhouse in England to recover his shadow that he left there. And, you know, when you think about that, and he can fly, he can make other people fly, and he has a little fairy that can make anybody fly.
And he doesn't grow old. He lives on an island.
And nobody ever explains any of that.
He lives on an island with a one-handed pirate that wants to kill him, a giant crocodile, a bunch of Indians.
You don't need a lot of stuff to explain there.
We just start out with, you know. That's all just starting. So we thought,
we'll write a couple books to explain
how,
all this.
How we got there.
This is the first of a couple.
So give us a flick. Give us some. Can you reveal anything?
Why, Mickey?
We can tell you that there are several key elements in the beginning. There's a little boy named Peter who is an orphan, and he and some friends are setting out on a ship from London. And on a spooky day when a couple of other ships are leaving, and there's a trunk. There's
interesting
trunk on one,
cargo.
Yeah, on two of the ships, actually. And there's a pirate out there who thinks that one of those trunks has got a very valuable treasure in it. And
he's right.
And in the course of the book, the pirates, the trunk, Peter, and various other characters.
There's a little girl on one of the ships, and Peter's going to end up striking up a relationship with this little girl, and they're going to go after this trunk together, and she someday will be revealed to be related to Wendy.
And very, very strange things happen on this ship related to this trunk. And beyond that, I'm not going to go.
But there are flying rats in the book. I will say that.
As in life itself.
That's it, yeah.
How is the experience of writing a children's book different from writing? You write books that are very far removed from children's books.
Well, that's
you may appreciate
here.
Them. You, Dave Barry, have I'm not entirely book. Grown up anyway,
no, exactly.
But I'm not so sure Ridley has either.
But, you know, we did not write down in this book. I think one of the fun things about the book was, I mean, sure, you take out the sex and violence, but you don't write down in any way. I mean, this book is to be read by adults as well, so... I mean, part of the fun of it was that we didn't try to dumb it down. It's a 400-page novel.
How does this help you in the other writing that you do? Bill Clinton said last night, did you happen to hear the speech?
No.
It was like a rock star. I mean, the ovation was amazing. He said he recommended that anybody over 50 think about writing their memoirs, even if it's something you never expect to have published, just to do it as an exercise. Maybe you just take a couple weekends to do it because you get a lot of insights. It's very therapeutic, he thought. So using that sort of as a jumping-off point to sit down and write a children's book, does that put you back into childhood? Does it put you back into your own childhood in some way? Does it change you in any way? Does it recover parts of yourself?
Boy, is she ever going to finish this question?
That were a little lost? No, I'm never going to finish it.
I think the answer is kind of yes and no, but more no in that Ridley has written a lot of novels, and novels are all about plot, and plot really just means you're telling a story. So Ridley, more than anybody I've ever met in my life, thinks in terms of stories. So
that's what he said on the show when I said about writing. He said it's all about the story.
And it's absolutely true. I mean, there's nothing... You can be a bad writer if you have good stories. There are many very successful authors who are not that great.
Who?
I'm not going to name names, but you know.
But one of the things we focused on early on, and this was Dave's drive, was that the book had to have a lot of magic in it. It had to be magical, and that's about your childhood question.
Right.
And Peter and the Star Catchers had
that. And
it's
also about J.K. Rowling's bank balance.
It probably is about that, too. But, I mean, it really, by bringing the magic in early in the book, it keeps, you know, 396 pages of it have this wonderful element in it that has to do with the stars crashing to Earth and the dust from the stars. And
but also, how are you going to explain a flying boy if
you don't explain it?
Yeah, at some point.
When you're a child, trees can talk.
You're right. Well, when you're a child, you invent, you know, things that explain things, and that's
and we had some very funny moments in this because we took this seriously.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, wait a minute. That
but wait,
happen.
If that tree's moving, then the leaves have to shake. And I'm like, oh my God! It was very funny.
You do have to, after you create the world, you have to be consistent within the world. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's one of the reasons J.K. Rowling is so successful. She creates a world that it's magical, but it's very consistent.
But it holds
there
together.
Are rules in that world. You know?
My guests are Ridley Pearson and Dave Barry. The new book is called Peter and the Star Catchers. It's going to be available in August.
Late August.
And how many do you anticipate in the series?
Well, if we do the series, we think at least three.
Yeah, before all leading up to, believe it or not, the beginning of Peter Pan.
Right. Setting up him leaving the shadow in the house.
Has Hollywood come calling? I was thinking of prequel, and I was thinking of Star Wars, and I was thinking of George Lucas.
Broadway came calling.
Broadway did?
Yeah.
Already?
Broadway's interested in doing a musical of it, so we'll see.
Well, you know, I might think about Mary Martin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mary's still alive.
Well, not entirely.
Not entirely. Only partly.
But partly.
On film.
When I was a little girl, and my parents wanted to have conversations, and they didn't want us to hear, they would go and close the kitchen door, and they had some other people over, so I figured they must be talking about sex, although I wasn't entirely clear about what sex was, actually. And all I could hear was a fragment before they closed the kitchen door of, and she washes her hair every night, and I thought, and the maid said on stage, and I couldn't figure out, I thought that it must have something to do with sex. And for years, I tried to make some sense out of it, until I was reading about Mary Martin. And she washed her hair every night on stage. I think she was in
South Pacific. Gonna wash that man right out of my hair.
But for a long time, I really thought it was an exotic sexual practice. My guests are...
Well, thanks for
sharing. Can we spend some time in the shower with you?
I'm sure you can.
Where
use
did that story come from?
Can you hang around with us for a little longer?
I don't know.
We could. We have to take
yes, we can.
A little
yeah,
bit
we,
of a
we,
break?
We can. We
All right.
Can.
My guests
we're
going to
go get more goldfish while
go get them
yeah, right.
while they're swimming. Dave Barry, Ridley Pearson, I mean Amina Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from Chicago, McCormick Place, Book Expo 2004. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk This is AM 1150 KNRC.
2:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Cloudy and 87 degrees now. A woman driving the wrong way on I-25 early this morning killed two CDOT workers. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Big freeway problem is the first one of the afternoon, really, and it's southbound I-25 about Colorado Boulevard. Injury accident, a lot of emergency equipment on the scene there. Traffic jammed back to the Broadway Bridge, and we may also have an additional slowdown southbound over top of the Broadway Bridge. Supposed to be a piece of debris in traffic, so count on some slow delays trying to get out of town tonight, or at least right now anyway. Everything else around town looks pretty good. Smith Road and Tower Road, a report of an accident there. Westbound 285 approaching Wadsworth, a minor collision, and at 38th Street and Washington Street. They're underneath I-70 in Washington. Have an accident with injuries. The accident's actually on the bike path, but a lot of the emergency equipment sitting on the street, so be very, very careful there. Albertsons with the information. Save at Albertsons 10 for $10 sale. Assorted pork loin chops, Sanderson Farms family pack chicken, 10 pounds for $10 and more. All this week at Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
A CDOT crew was filling potholes on I-25 overnight when a 21-year-old Denver woman drove the wrong way in the northbound lanes and hit the crew. Two workers were killed instantly. State Patrol says alcohol could be a factor in the crash. This report brought to you by AutoZone. A 14-year-old boy and a 12-year-old boy who were sleeping in a 1969 Mustang in the backyard of the 14-year-old home. The 14-year-old's home set the car on fire last night. The 14-year-old wanted to inhale some gasoline, then lit a cigarette. Both boys fell asleep. That's when the fire erupted. The 14-year-old was injured and now could face arson charges. A grand jury says it found no criminal misconduct in the investigation of former Adams County Treasurer Helen Hill. She had been accused of stealing county records and taking liquor seized from a store to pay back taxes. Now at AutoZone, get $5 off a case of Pennzoil motor oil and up to $10 in free gasoline after mail-in rebate. Hurry, deal ends June 5th. Details at AutoZone. We'll check the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 2:41.
Across the Front Range and the Rocky Mountains, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
I listen in my car. I listen at work.
Denver's premier talk station.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
Hear both sides daily.
Both sides.
On AM 1150 KNRC.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
Taking a look at the KNRC weather forecast, partly to mostly cloudy through this evening with a chance of some thunderstorms. The overnight temperature down into the mid-50s. For tomorrow, partly cloudy and a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high in the low 80s. Cloudy and 77 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 2:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it,
just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofa Plus starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Enid Goldstein.
Let's see what all the excitement is about.
Middays at noon.
Now, what in the world is wrong with that?
On AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:44 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from Chicago, McCormick Place, Book Expo 2004. And with me, also surprisingly live, Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson.
For now,
just this moment only. And also in their other lives, they have several other lives. One is as the Rock Bottom Remainders, which
you
is a rock
about
and roll.
You're not making plurals, don't you?
No, yeah, it's all singular.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what happened a few years ago when you were at the Book Expo.
That was the Book Expo.
And Rock Bottom, you were playing as the Rock Bottom Remainders
doing
rock and roll.
We were playing at the Palladium in Los Angeles. And we were doing our usual horrible, you know, imitation of a bad rock band. Or good imitation of a bad
Well, you said it's a band best heard in print.
That's our best medium. I call it the rumor method of music, which is we're all playing something, and then a rumor goes around that there's been a chord change. You know?
Oh my God!
Wait, and then we all change to another chord, not necessarily the same one. You know, so
the umbilical cord.
Yeah. So then, what happened, Ridley?
We're
sharing this anecdote.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we have guys who help us with our guitars and this and that, and one of them yelled to Dave because a guy had come backstage and wanted to borrow one of Dave's guitar, which is. You know, that's sacrosanct. You don't do that. And
it was Bruce Springsteen.
and you weren't going to let him, I bet.
Right.
Did he look, really sort of...
And he came on the stage, and I had to ask... See, the only song that we had left was Gloria.
That's the only one we knew at that point.
Maybe the easiest song ever written. If you take a guitar and just throw it on the ground all by itself, it will play Gloria.
It sounds like Gloria.
Not a complicated... But I had to turn to Bruce Springsteen and say, Bruce, do you know Gloria? And he goes, I think I can handle it. Yeah.
But then, you didn't recognize
him.
He
had a baseball cap.
He just looked like
No, he didn't. It was thoroughly him. And then I said, ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Springsteen. And, you know, because it's us, I'd say 75 to 80% of the crowd thought
didn't
I was
believe
kidding.
It. Yeah, exactly.
And it was a big laugh. And then we started playing it, and then you could see it go around the crowd. And they were like, oh, my God, that's Bruce Springsteen.
And the crowd that had been there for hours suddenly was crushed
and
in on it.
They just charged for it, and we did this all-time high-energy version of
For about 15 minutes.
And then when we should have played like 8 more songs, we were up there with Bruce Springsteen. Instead, we just ran off.
We ran off.
We didn't know what to do.
We were in panic.
And then afterward...
Did he just show up to play with you guys?
He showed up because he was friends with one of the guys who was hanging with the band then. And we had a lot of random people come around this band over the years. And
what was he like afterward? Did you talk to him?
It was very cool. But Mitch Albom has this great quote. We're like, you know, talking about like what kind of band we are. And Bruce goes, you guys are great, but don't get any better because then you just be another bad band. But we've also played... It's really been kind of fun. We play with Warren Zevon
for 3 years.
Warren kind of,
but not right now.
No, we all miss Warren, but he kind of joined the band. I mean, he was a friend of Carl Hyacinth's, good friend, and Carl.
All the gigs for about 3 years.
Was at a dinner with Carl Hyacinth.
Yeah.
He is so wonderful.
Hey, he's incredible.
He won the Denver Press Club the Damon Runyon Award.
Right.
And so. I was seated next to him. It was a great evening, and he was
He's
good.
A good guy.
Quite a guy. He's a colleague of mine at the Miami Herald and a good friend, and he called me up one day and said, we always play in Miami at Miami Book Fair. He said, Warren would be interested in coming out and playing. Why don't you give him a call? I said, you're kidding. And he goes, nope. So I called Warren Zevon, and we had a very funny conversation. Well, he's one of the funnier people I've ever known. Then he flew out, and what was really great about it is He absolutely refused to be the rock star. I mean,
he
one
would
of the reasons,
not be the rock star.
One of the reasons he wanted to be in his band, he loves to read, he's a very literate guy. He absolutely would not be Mr. Star. He would play the keyboard, stay in the background. We could get him to do some of his songs.
He wouldn't
and
come
if,
out
and if we did a, like, we did a song
we
did of
Werewolves
called
of
Werewolves, he wouldn't even sing it.
He said, I'll do that on one condition.
Yeah.
Stephen King
Stephen
has to sing
it.
You know?
Yeah.
So Warren's in the background playing piano and Stephen's singing.
But his song.
We got to, now we travel with Roger McGuinn of the Byrds, who
is a blast.
Do you have actual gigs where people hire you to come in and do this, or do you
hire us is a strong term.
Well, we raise money for nonprofits.
For charities.
Yeah.
There's a charity. There was one in Denver called America Scores, and we have played twice now in Denver to raise money for them. A really good organization. It's a literacy charity for inner city kids, after school program. That
are you going to be coming again to Denver?
We will. I'm sure
we will. At some point.
This
year we're doing St. Louis, Cleveland, Detroit and Chicago.
Well, we raise a good percentage of their budget. And the way it works is, I mean, people don't really come to hear us. It's like Stephen King always says, it's a freak show. It's like the walking dog, or no, the talking dog. It's not that he does it well, it's just that he does it at all. You know? So we get people to donate a bunch of money and to be in the room, and we encourage them to consume adult beverages and great quantities before we even start, so they have a good time.
Which greatly improves the quality.
That's right.
Of the output.
The more you drink,
that's
the better we sound,
uh-huh.
as the old saying goes.
Uh-huh. The band's motto is, we play music
the way Metallica writes novels.
Yep.
When you're writing a children's book, does it affect, are you able to write more than one book at a time? Can you have multiple books going? Are you able to do that, Dave?
We both do it as well.
So you can segue without too much trouble between a children's book and a thriller, let's say.
Once you've got the book going, I mean, I contend that it takes about a month to get your head into any book you're writing. And that is the hardest part of it. Like, everything seems wrong because you have too many choices. But once you've made some choices, like, if you think about it, you're starting to write a work of fiction. Guy walks into a room. Well, does it have to be a guy? Could be two guys. Could be a woman.
What's
does
the
it have to be a
look
room?
Like?
What kind of room?
You can make yourself
anything
nuts.
Anything you want. And by the time you've written a couple of chapters, you've narrowed it down. You know who the characters are. You know what this. It's much, much.
And then you can turn that on and off.
Yeah.
But
how do you not make yourself nuts? I mean, I just had to buy a faucet.
Look at us.
I had to buy a faucet, and I went nuts just picking faucets. So how do you decide? I mean, what ate you in the process
of
deciding?
Take 20,000 words, and you can use any of them anytime.
That's right. Yeah. What? Why not a woman? Why a man? Yeah. Why not two? Why
it's
not Asian?
A story.
Why not?
This is why
how do you
a
make
story.
Yourself?
That's why
we
can't.
It's the story.
That's the
magic word in both journalism and fiction. You know, the reason you'll read it is it's a story.
The three things that matter most.
Story. I contend. And, I mean, this is my own personal grudge against modern literature. I think we've kind of corrected that course. But for a while, we had this phase of, you know, there were all these really wonderful, elegant writers who could just write anything and it sounded great, but they had nothing to say, nothing.
It's
no
like
story.
Going into
no
a
story.
Restaurant and you get those portions that are so small that you spend a fortune and you walk out hungry, and they all look like they were designed by an architect. There's an architectural feeling, and there's a lot to be said for that kind of literature, but not by me.
And you want,
you weren't hungry.
Yeah.
And you
give me a meal.
And you invested all this time, and what was the cost to benefit ratio?
Well, I think really that's one of the reasons we were able to write this book together.
Yeah.
We both believe really, really strongly in that the story has to keep moving. It has to drive us to go somewhere.
And the name of the book is Peter and the Star Catchers.
And it'll be for sale in bookstores everywhere.
In late
August.
And it's going to be a big seller. We really know that going in.
We hope you're right.
I hope that's right.
I'm sure that will be
but
the case.
But we're coming to Denver to promote it.
At the Tatter Cover.
Yeah, in late September.
I want to talk to you before you, I know you guys have to go in a minute, but I want to talk about politics. Bill Clinton said last night, one of the things that he said was, things are not so bad right now, when a lot of people think they're really terrible. He said that we have gone through these cycles in history, where it usually means that we're on the verge of a massive kind of change. And I was wondering whether he wasn't trying to keep the seat warm for Hillary, what I was thinking about when he said that. But, you know, George Tenet is gone. We've got, well, I call him Dickie in the White House, because then I can say there are two Dicks that are running the White House, Dick Cheney and George W. Dickie Bush. But I know you'd do something better with that. You would be much more elegant. And
you think I would do something better than a dick joking?
I know you would. But any observations about politics now? And
you know, I mean, I'll be serious, which is not what you expected, probably, but I get very depressed.
That's Dave Barry who's talking
now. I get depressed at the level of discourse. You know, I can remember a time when people felt just as passionately about, say, Kennedy and Nixon, which is the one of them, you know, but we're able to not view the other side as evil and stupid. And I think we've kind of reached the point in this country where the main argument I hear from both left and right is that the other side is evil and stupid. And I get really tired of that. It's because it's not true. There's like a lot, you know, I know you're like, well, the other side is evil and stupid. But I just you know, I'm sorry. I just don't think that you can.
Well, you know what Clinton said? He said government is not like faith. You got to have evidence. That's what he said it probably more elegantly.
But look at the quality of life we have. I mean, that's the thing that gets me right now is if you look at what our parents went through with the Depression and World War II and all of that, and I think Clinton can refer to those kind of times and say, those were tough times. But we've had a lot of politically tough times. We've lost some lives. And through the whole terrorism process, it's been an awful thing. But look at our daily lives. Our daily lives.
We're a pretty whiny nation.
Yeah. We've come so far. We have so much to be grateful for.
Screaming for our rights and loath to exercise our responsibilities.
Yeah, we don't even vote.
Ooh, coin that phrase.
Yeah. You would have loved to have heard Clinton because he talked about storytelling and where he grew up. It was he was one of the last pre-TV kind of guys growing up where telling stories was important. And you didn't get to tell a story until you listened. And so he learned to listen and learned people that way. So it might be something that writers everywhere would appreciate a sentiment. Thank you both.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
I'm looking forward to the book, Peter and the Starcatchers. Looking forward to you coming through Denver. Dave Barry, Ridley Pearson, thank you.
Thank you, Enid.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from Chicago, McCormick Place, Book Expo 2004. Right here on AM 1150, KNRC.
Sure, Denver has its share of talk stations, but we talk about what's important.
I would advise you to increase your knowledge.
Hear both sides on Denver's premier talk station, AM 1150, KNRC.
Buying a new vehicle at John Elway is worry-free. Get a low, no-haggle price, a special price match guarantee, and a 3-day, 150-mile money-back guarantee with a John Elway new vehicle. Honest.
Hi, it's John Rizzi, editor of Colorado Avid Golfer magazine. Do you love golf as much as I do? If so, join me and Physical Golf's Neil Walkadoff for On the Tee every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on 1150 KNRC. We'll talk about how to play, where to play, and what to play. We'll go inside the tour, across the state, and around the country, bringing in guests from the world of golf. And we'll take your calls, too, even give you a shot at winning something. So join our twosome every Saturday morning at 8 on the Tee at 1150 KNRC.
The Larimer Arts Association presents the second annual La Piazza dell'Arte, June 19th and 20th. The award-winning festival follows 16th century street painting traditions and features more than 200 artists who will spend hours on their hands and knees transforming asphalt into pastel masterpieces of brilliant color and design. Enjoy spectacular artwork, Italian food, beverages, and entertainment. Admission is free. For more information, call 303-685-8143 or visit larimerarts.org.
AM 1150 KNRC invites you to participate in the 2004 Miles to Fight Melanoma Summer Solstice Race on Wednesday, June 16th in City Park. This annual benefit raises awareness and funds for the prevention and cure of melanoma, which occurs more frequently in Colorado than in the rest of the country. Run, walk, and enjoy music and refreshments. Call 303-430-2817 for information on the Summer Solstice Race, Wednesday, June 16th in City Park, from AM 1150 KNRC.
I want you to say the first thing that comes into your head. When I arrive home from work, I like to...
Thunderstorms!
Interesting. Okay. I seem to relax the most when I...
Tornado warnings!
Worried about those spring and summer storms? Stay in touch with our weather coverage whenever you need it.
Now then.
Flood watch!
Would you mind if I ask the question first?
AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:57 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from Chicago, the Book Expo. We're at McCormick Place, where it is enormous. I cannot tell you. There are probably, hundreds and hundreds of booths set up with every kind of promotional tchotchke that was ever invented by human beings. There are shopping bags. There are books to be given away. There are popcorn and every kind of candy and every kind of gizmo and every kind of stuff. And, I mean, the shopping bags are oversized. People are schlepping these things full of stuff all over the place. And if you love books, this is a fabulous place to be because you want to stop at every booth and look through them. And I am a great book lover. I don't always have the chance to read as many as I would like to. I maybe need to learn how to inhale books. But this is just a great place to be. And what we're doing is we're kind of getting the skinny on books that are coming up. And I know that tomorrow we are going to have Ambassador Joseph Wilson, whose wife was outed by somebody in the White House to the extent, and he'll probably have some good information because it's being reported that Dickey, or President Bush as some people call him, Dickey has retained an attorney for this very issue of the outing of Valerie Plame. So that's breaking news. We're also, I think we're going to have William F. Buckley. Kathy Lee Gifford kind of blew us off, and she missed a big interview that she was having, too. She's written some kind of cliches about Serenity. Who knows? Doug Kellett is up next. Remember, special edition of Enid tomorrow, noon to 3, right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Jordan Lyles, thank you for a brilliant job. Joe Anderson, thank you for a brilliant job. Thanks to all of you for listening. We'll do it again tomorrow, noon to 3, right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Doug Kellett up next. Do something generous. Have a fabulous weekend. And listen to more book stuff from your favorite bookie right here on AM 1150.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Rosalind Jordan. An attack on U.S. forces in East Baghdad has killed 5 soldiers and injured 5 others. There was more violence. NBC's Kevin Seitz is in Baghdad.
4 other soldiers were wounded when an RPG, a rocket-propelled grenade, was fired at their vehicle while they were on patrol in Sadr City. Meanwhile, in the south, 9 days after that peace deal that was supposed to stop fighting in Kufa Najat, it looks like Shiite militia and U.S. troops will finally pull back from those cities as they had agreed to do.
Thousands of protesters took to the streets of Rome as President Bush came to town today to vent their anger over the war in Iraq. During a 3-day trip to Italy and France, Mr. Bush will seek more international support for Iraqi reconstruction. He'll also be in Normandy, France on Sunday to mark the 60th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. Stocks rose as a surprisingly strong jobs report and dropping oil prices reassured investors about the improving U.S. economy. The Dow rose more than 47 points. The Nasdaq was up 18 and a third. I'm Rosalind Jordan, NBC News Radio.
This is Rocky Moselle. Are you fed up with spam and bulk email? I am. So let's do something about it. I have launched the Do Not Call list for email. We don't have to wait for the government. We can do this ourselves. The large email houses account for billions of emails per day and make millions with your personal information. We will take you off their list. This service is 100%